Welcome to We Geek Podcast. The date is Wednesday, April 22nd, and my name's Adam, and I'm here with my buddy Logan.
Hello.
Hello. And basically, we're just here to talk about the news of the week. And wow, there's been some big stuff. We covered a lot of the Star Wars stuff in a previous episode. So if you haven't listened, definitely go listen to it. It should be right before this one. We had that just a few days ago. We recorded it Sunday, so it was up on Monday, and it's a lot of Star Wars. And we'll briefly go into a little bit of the Star Wars stuff during this week's stuff. But man, how I mean, I know I asked you Sunday how your weekend was, but just in case someone didn't hear that, have you been having a good week so far?
Yeah, it's been all right.
Yeah, same here. Kind of working, and this company I work for, the big things coming up, so I gotta get prepared for that. And but yeah, man, it's been fun. I've been reading some comics actually this week, some of the Star Wars ones, and I've been you know d I've been oh I caught a new TV. Well, it's not new. It came out not too long ago. It was called Marco Polo. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah, on Netflix. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's I didn't know what to make of it at first. I'm like, I mean, I'll be honest, I've heard of Marco Polo, and I've in the history class years ago, but I've never like I didn't know anything about the character, and so it's been interesting to see it, and I didn't know that it would like had it's heavily to do with the Khan family and everything, Genghis Khan's family and descendants over there in China. And God, it takes a lot longer to get into. First few episodes are, it's kind of rough, but once you get into it, once you start to like, I start to begin to really like the characters. It's good. I hope there's a second season. I don't know how well it did. I know it was super expensive to make. I remember reading that article, but yeah, it's good. I'm probably gonna get into Turn. You heard of that?
Yeah, the AMC series about spies in the American Revolution, right?
Yeah, exactly. I heard good things about that. So that's probably
Okay.
I've been liking to go on Netflix marathons lately.
There you go.
After Daredevil, I was like, oh, I want to sink my teeth into something else. So that's when I went to Marco Polo. So I'll try and get in Turn
Marco
either later this
Polo.
week or maybe next. But yeah, that's what I've been up to, and that's what I've been up to. I guess we can get into it. We can start with the movies. Any big movie news you want to talk about?
Is there any big movie news? Jesus. Well, let's we I'm kind of debating what to start with. Let's go with the fact that this was the weekend of trailers. That's a good place to start.
Basically, it was every trailer from my childhood, sequels to, or something to do with that. I
Yeah.
mean, God, yeah, start wherever you want with that, because there's, I mean, what trailer didn't come out this week?
Yes, that is the question, isn't it? Let's go ahead and knock. We did because we did Star Wars with our last special episode, but it does still kind of bear repeating again because it bears watching again
Oh
and
God, I
again.
turned into an 8-year-old.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
Yeah,
like this.
it was, and I, you know, and it was one of those things where I sent it to my dad, and my dad likes movies. Every once in a while, he'll see a big movie in the theater, but he's not as excited about it, of course, as I am. When I sent him that, he was like, "That's really cool. I'll be seeing that in the theater." And that's a lot to say about him. So it's kind of cool. It's got this like generational thing where even my grandparents saw it and they were like, "Whoa, that looks fun," man, yeah, I'm excited. I know you are too.
Oh yeah, oh big time.
Yeah, just turn into kids watching that. And I've seen, you ever seen the, have you watched the React videos? Which we should actually film maybe next time they do something like this where I guess people just record themselves watching a trailer that they know, they've heard is like gonna change your life or whatever. And it was like this collection of maybe like 10 people, and they played the trailers in the middle of the video, and then all the people surrounding it watching it, and they all react to the same points. And some of them like flip out. The girl's crying. You see this kid, this old man turn into an 8-year-old with just before your eyes, and you see that moment in them for the first time when they see it, and it's actually really cool. And they're really funny too, especially the ones that flip out. And like it's like genuine like excitement, not like hyped up, it doesn't look that fake. It looks like genuine excitement, especially when they're crying like little babies. But yeah. But yeah, man, Star Wars. Let's get
Yeah.
into, well, let's get into the next big one.
Yeah, we go
Batman.
from yeah,
Yeah.
we go from the mountaintop to the bottom of the valley here.
Right. Well, see here, I've been hearing that a lot of people have been giving it shit. Now, I guess I'm in the boat where I like, oh, let's wait to see. I wasn't as excited, of course, as I was with Star Wars, and it's, I mean, at this point, I kind of feel like talking about the Batman Superman movies being dark is kind of like talking about DLC when it comes to video games. It's like
Right, yeah.
we know what it's going to be at this point. It's you're either going to like that or you're not. And it just seems like I saw a comic today where it was like it showed Batman and Superman kind of like in the 60s, and it shows like their interaction, and then it shows later, and then it shows that, but it's the same drawing of Superman above, Batman at bottom, and it says like through the years, and it's like dark, darker, no, go darker, and then the last panel of the comic is just black, and it's like perfect because that's
Well,
what this is what it's been like. It just gets darker and darker and darker and darker. And this trailer, I mean, when I saw the people with the skulls on their face for the Day of the Dead, I'm like it's a joke now. It was I saw someone put a comparison to where Superman has the soldiers bowing to him to the one of the scenes in Injustice, and it's like, yep,
yeah, not to not
that's
into,
pretty much it.
but I mean, my thing, look, and let's, I'll go ahead and recap the trailer real quick for like the one person listening to this podcast who hasn't seen it. It's audio of a bunch of people on talk shows, is Superman good? Is he
Neil
bad?
deGrasse
Should we,
Tyson.
yeah, that was cool. That was like the only
Yeah.
really cool part of it. But it's like, well, do we need an alien looking out for us? Is he good? Does he, and they ran the thing, God, and I hate this quote, they ran the whole absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. I want to hit people when they say that. All the while, lights are coming onto this statue, which is of Superman before it even comes on. And, it says false god on it, somebody with really crappy graffiti sprayed on it. And then it's like, ooh, cut to Ben Affleck, cut to the Batsuit, cut to Superman standing here, cut to Superman standing in front of bowing soldiers, cut to Batman in the Dark Knight Returns armor, standing up with just with an overly mechanized voice. And I understand it's because he's in the suit. I've seen a lot of people saying, "Oh my God, they did the voice again." No, it's because he's in the suit. Relax, everybody, take a breath.
You know what though? You know what I was thinking, and it's probably him, but I was thinking, I don't think that voiceover is Batman. I think that could be Jesse doing that as,
No,
Lex Luthor. Lex
it's
Luthor. You don't
I
think
think it
so?
no, because of the it's a it's like a mechanized voice. It's
Right,
like
but
it's
who's
coming
to
from him.
say? I mean, Lex Luthor is in a mech suit throughout half of his comic book career.
Right, but I mean, you wouldn't know anything about that from this trailer because they didn't
True,
show
true.
him. They didn't show any Wonder Woman. They showed no glimpses at anything other than here's Batman in the giant suit, and he
Right.
makes a really stupid quip at Superman flying in the air. Cut. That's the end of the trailer. I mean,
Did it
that's.
show his mouth? See, this is what caught me off was when I saw that, I was like, cool. And I thought, okay, they're doing that because of the voice. Of course, he's in a suit. That makes sense instead of him doing the growly voice.
Right.
But what I kept thinking was, what if they just edited that in? Because you hear Jesse right before they're going, gods don't come from the sky. They come, or they don't come from the ground. They come from the sky. And I thought, my whole theory going into this movie was that, Lex is going to basically get Zod's old outfit, and he's going to change it and adjust it. He might even get help from Bruce Wayne to adjust to change it and adjust it and to make it so he can fight in it, because that would make him kind of on Superman's level in a sense, in a very small sense. It would definitely make him a lot more able to fight, except for just being a little human. That I thought, of course, he'd get Zod's outfit. And when I saw the trailer, I kept thinking, like, is that something Batman would say? Like, do you bleed? The thing is, I think Batman would know that going into this if he could bleed. I don't know. And he says his name at the end. He says Jor-El or whatever. So that just got me thinking, like, are we, I don't know. To me, it just
No.
came off a little bit like Lex,
No,
but.
it's not, hang on, man. That's not what he said. He didn't say, he said, "Do you bleed?" And then there's a long pause, and then he says, "You will."
But yeah, but then he said son of Jor-El at the end.
Really? I don't have to go
Yeah,
back and
watch the
rewatch it, I must
trailer
say.
again. It says I think it says Jor-El or something like that. It's his Kryptonian name. And that's what I heard at the end of it. So I don't know. Go back and listen. I could be totally wrong,
Yeah.
but
Well,
but that.
and it's weird that I missed something in that trailer, because that was like that would be one of four things that happened in that entire 2 minute trailer. Like it showed
Right.
it showed nothing. It was like, we know Batman versus Superman. Okay, what about anybody else in this movie?
But
literally,
to be fair, to be devil's advocate here, I'm glad they don't show too much.
No,
you
but
know,
they
I'm,
don't. This is on the other end. This
yeah.
is they didn't show anything. Nothing. It's like
yeah.
we, I just no. It wasn't.
Well, I mean, I thought the first Man of Steel trailer showed nothing, but it was. It's one of my favorite trailers of all time, though. I mean, see, that's what I'm double. I don't like it when they show too much. I think the Avengers, we've seen too much of it. I feel like I've seen the whole film. And with
yeah.
the Batman vs Superman, the thing is what we saw, it didn't excite either of us with Batman vs Superman. That's why I think we're coming probably. That's at least why I'm coming down on it a little bit hard, is because I haven't. It didn't excite me. Where, you know, even Man of Steel, the first one, excited the hell out of me. Just how it was put together, the way it was written, the song, everything in that trailer was great. Where this, it was like, God, okay, so Superman shouldn't be a bad guy in his second film. Like, that's what they make it seem like. They make it seem like Batman's the only one that can save us.
Well,
and...
you know, I mean, coming off of Man of Steel, where, you know, he leveled half of Metropolis and killed however many thousands of people
yeah.
as collateral damage, I get that he's cast as kind of like, maybe not a villain, but it's like he's
mm-hmm.
he is, you know, now more than ever the outsider, and so on
hey,
and
I
so
guess,
on.
I guess
like,
the studio really did hear us
when
we were like, wait, why are they making Superman so dark and bad? And actually, I think this is kind of the result of that. Like, and you know, I think we talked about this before, where I was like, I really hope they address that in this film, that like that's not okay that happened, and that it's kind of scary.
Right.
And so clearly that's the route they're going, because there's some people who don't believe, you know, Superman, and you know, it totally makes sense for Lex to get the humans, you know, mankind behind him,
right,
going, we can't trust this guy. And it makes a good villain. It makes a relatable villain.
But I mean, you know, we're speculating on all of this, because going from
right.
the trailer again, you've got Batman in a suit and Superman in the air, and it's raining and it's dark. Like, that's the trailer. That's literally it. Like,
yeah,
I mean, that's what bothered me. I agree with you about Age of Ultron. We've seen far, far too much. Really, I mean, you know, listen to us talking about. We've seen too much of the upcoming Avengers movie. You know,
yeah.
30 years ago, people would bludgeon us for saying something like that.
Right.
But you know, the point is, you know, there's hype and there's promotion, and then there is going too far. This didn't go far enough. This wasn't a trailer. This was another teaser, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No. 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 Totally. And I think they called it the teaser trailer. So it's not the full out trailer that we probably won't get that until, I don't know, probably sometime this year, maybe towards like Christmas. I'm thinking we'll get the full trailer. Who knows? Maybe they'll put it before Star Wars. but yeah, man. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, we know everyone's gonna go see it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
look,
weird.
Hey, look,
I
want to be wrong. I was a big fan when Affleck was announced as Batman. I was a big fan of that, because
oh, yeah.
I thought, okay, well, that's different. That's a new direction for this. And I know people keep coming down on it and everything, but you know,
I don't get it. I don't get the hate for him. Like, to me, the watching Batman the Animated Series to me was kind of the definitive form of Bruce Wayne and Batman.
Yes.
And to me, that is exactly what Affleck is. Like, he. If you've seen him in the last few films he's in, he is totally channeling Bruce Wayne, or at least I can see, you know, through osmosis, I guess, him being Bruce Wayne. I just seeing him in those kind of roles, I can see Bruce Wayne, and so it's not that far of a stretch. And you know, people give him shit, but you know, and on top of that, he's got fucking Kevin Smith right in his ear as a little old Yoda going, you need to do this, you need to do that, make sure in this scene, you know, make sure you're not doing this, or you know, he's got all that, and I think he's got the acting chops. And personally, I think that's the best news from the film. When I heard that, it actually got me really excited.
Yeah.
Because he portrayed, and let's think about who Bruce Wayne's character is. He's a douchebag. He's a guy that is, you know, full of money, and you know, that's the character, that's the act that this person portrays. The real person is Batman. So you know, when he's going out and he's trying to act like a, you know, playboy, you know, millionaire, that's not far off from what Affleck can do, and he can do it well. And so yeah, man. And if you see, you see a little bit of gray in his hair. I like that they're making Batman of kind of older, kind of an established character, and he kind of is. We've seen a lot of Batman over the last few years, so we don't need another origins film. We don't need all that. So it totally makes sense that this is him kind of like semi-retired, which is what we heard going into this, that he was going to be. He was going to be
Exactly.
semi-retired. There may or may not be already a Robin running around or Nightwing, so that's exciting. We saw none of the other characters that were announced to be in it, like Cyborg or Wonder Woman, even though they did show off Wonder Woman's outfit, and Batman and Superman, like a close-up of to in detail, and they it all looked pretty good. I mean, especially Wonder Woman's. I was curious how they were gonna how it was gonna come out, but it looks just like Wonder Woman, so. But yeah, speaking of Wonder Woman, did you see that they have a new director?
Yes, Patty Jenkins.
Right, yeah, and she did Munster,
She did
right? Is
Monster,
that
and at
the name
one
of the
point was tapped to direct Thor 2.
character? Oh yeah, that's right, that's
Yeah.
right. Okay, that makes sense.
And then that kind of fell apart for insert speculation here, pretty much.
Right.
But so we get I not to some people say, well, a female director should direct a Wonder Woman movie, but I think it is more than that. I think it's not just like, well, we have to have a female director because it's a female lead. I think it's because we've had enough male directors. We have talented female directors. They should be directing more films in general.
Yeah, exactly. I don't
Like,
think
just
same, what are the other side of the coin they say that, it shouldn't, you shouldn't automatically put a female director in there. Just put someone in there who is right for the job,
Right.
and it makes sense, and I mean, the way I thought about it was, like you said, she was in there to do Thor 2. Thor's kind of the fantasy character of the Marvel Universe. So, and Wonder Woman's kind of the fantasy character for this as well, because she's all about, the Amazons and whatnot. So it makes sense. I mean, if you think about it, there's a lot of similarities between Thor and Wonder Woman,
This is
if you
true. No,
think.
this is actually not a terrible point. It
Right,
sounds
yeah.
kind of terrible, but it's not entirely wrong.
Right, yeah. So it'd be cool. I'm excited for it. Definitely get some. We haven't seen a Wonder Woman film, and we've been wanting it forever. We've made a million Batmans, a million Supermans. We tried with Green Lantern, and it didn't do good.
Don't
They
remind me.
did
Don't remind me.
steal. What?
Don't remind me.
Right, yeah, exactly. So it's Wonder Woman should have been done before Green Lantern, in my opinion. Should have been done before Steel. It should have been done before a lot of these. I mean, we had Swamp Thing before it, so
Oh,
you know,
God, Steel.
it's long overdue. So I mean, we gotta go. That's what I old time comic fans. I heard a while ago when they were like, we got Rocket Raccoon in a film before we got, Wonder Woman, and it's true. We got Howard the Duck before a lot of these other people too. I think isn't Howard the first Marvel film? I think it was the first Marvel film ever made.
Officially,
Yeah,
probably.
I think officially, yeah. But oh yeah, that's right. But yeah, so some other movie news. The new Jurassic Park trailer, did you like it?
That yes. Man, I am kind of torn on this whole hunting with dinosaurs thing. I'm just
I like it.
I do a part of me really wants to like it, and part of me really doesn't want to like it. It's something that I'm gonna have to see in context. Like
Oh, it looks
that's
fun. I mean,
yeah.
fucking give them jetpacks for all I care. I'm in now. I mean, to me, like the first trailer for this was so very much the Jurassic Park original
Oh
trailer,
yeah,
where,
all big time.
welcome to the theme park and like, all the different scenes, even her all dressed in white, exactly like he was in the old film. Like it was almost shot by shot. It was totally the original. You could tell that they're trying to, they've said they're rebooting the series in a sense, and that this is going to start a new, set of movies, and it totally feels like Jurassic Park, and that's okay. I mean, I've said this before, Jurassic Park was my Star Wars. So like when I was, I don't know how old I was, 8 or 9 or whatever, might have been 10, who knows, but I was a kid when that came out, and seeing that in the theater for the first time, here, because I don't even remember, I don't even think I saw a trailer for it. I think I just remember seeing it in a newspaper and comic books, and then my cousins told me they went and saw this movie with the dinosaurs, and oh, I didn't even know what to think. I saw pictures of raptors and shit, and then when I saw it in the theater, it was just like, holy crap! Like that was the film of my childhood, and so seeing all that in, now. It's definitely getting me excited, and it looks a lot better than the last one. And you know, the second one, I mean, the second one grew on me. I like the second one, but it, you know, the first one is just classic. And you know, I hope they channel that. And that, like you said, it's getting kind of like Raptor Pack and like a little ridiculous, but I'm all in. I'm all for it. I hope it gets, you know, crazy. I'll talk about something later that made me laugh, but and I'll remind you of this when I heard it later. But it has to do with the video game. But yeah, man, get it wild and crazy. And you know, I like that this is an altered dinosaur. It was kind of it was a to me, it's a good way to introduce something new into the series that's not, you know, not plausible. We're talking about bringing dinosaurs back from life, you know, from death, and back to life. So like the science fiction's already there. So to go a step further and say, well, let's just genetically engineer it to be like the perfect, you know, killer. Why not? You know, I don't want to see dinosaur humans running around like I saw in some of the it was like it was what do you call it? It was concept art for a movie that they were going to do before this, and it was like genetically engineered dinosaurs to another level, but it also had like human, a mixture of human and dinosaurs, and I was like, no. Now we're getting into like the TV show dinosaur territory, and it was a little ridiculous, but I'm all for it. Let's, you know, in the trailer they're talking about like the dinosaurs hunting, or it's doing it for fun, and it's not just hunting to eat, and you know, little things like that. And like when he grabs the human, and like it just looks fucking terrifying when it sticks the finger through the glass in it. And I don't know, those little things like that gets me excited. And then we've seen this, you know, this lake dinosaur, I don't know what it's called, but we've seen it like three times now in the trailers doing the same thing, jumping up out of the water, but instead of this time grabbing a shark, it's a pterodactyl. So that was super dope.
They're dinosaurs. Wow, enough.
Yeah,
Like that line,
exactly.
that was it. That summed up. I was like, that's it. That's why I'm going to see this. That's it.
Yeah, and Chris Pratt's perfect at that. Chris Pratt is the character where you kind of see a little bit of you and him and the audience and him, where it's like, this is fucking ridiculous. Like, why are you making even more ridiculous dinosaurs when, you know, dinosaurs should be enough? I like the
Yeah.
scene where he was like, you know, hunting and eating, and then he's like, you know, he's doing the motion of like sex.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, you could relate with him in one of those aspects, right? So yeah, he brings that like that humor that
Chris,
is
I love this story for Chris, 'cause it's like fanboy makes good, you know?
right.
Like, 'cause
Yeah,
you look at
no.
him and he's involved with all of this stuff that he has just this ridiculous amount of passion for.
Oh yeah,
And that's
he's totally the new Harrison Ford, I think. Like, 'cause he's in all these genre kind of films, but they're done right. He hasn't
Yeah.
done a bad one so far. And so that's why I think he's being picked up as like he's gonna be in this, he's gonna be in that, he's gonna, you know, he was in the Lego movie, like he's in all of these genre films. And what was the next one like rumored that he was gonna be in? There was some big franchise that,
Indiana Jones, wasn't it?
yeah, Indiana Jones, exactly. So if he's
Speaking
doing
of.
Indiana Jones, I mean, you might as well just fucking put him in Star Wars for a minute at this point.
Oh,
Like,
God. Oh, man.
yeah, like it's getting a little bit ridiculous, but hey, it's. You know, it's a good thing. I like Chris Pratt, so you know, until he does something bad, you know, that's when we'll be like, oh, well, remember this, you know. But yeah. So, what are some other news here?
Well, we talked about the Lego movie. We had announced three other Lego movies. The release dates have been
Oh God,
announced.
they're getting their whole
I
their
mean,
own
my
movie
God.
universe, huh?
Yeah, well, we've got Lego Batman, drops February 10th of 2017. They're doing a feature length Ninjago film, drops September 22nd, 2017. And then the actual sequel to the Lego movie drops, was it May? It was May 18th of 2018.
Hey, good for them.
Yeah,
I
hey.
liked the first Lego movie, and you know, Lego Batman sounds pretty fun. Is it gonna be like the Lego Batman from the Lego movie, I assume?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it's gotta be. It's gotta be. You know, he's kind of a douchebag, but it's. I hope they go with that.
But that's
Yeah. So
so, yeah,
I'm not
that's
familiar with
really.
Ninjago. I know that's like their ninja series. Like, I know it was on Netflix, or it had a TV show, right?
Yeah, they had like an animated. They did that with like. There was a weird sort of like branching off of Lego, and you got Ninjago, and you got Bionicle, and you got there. I think there was one more in there somewhere. And I was like, okay, they're clearly making these, they're doing the reverse. Instead of taking properties and making Lego products out of them, they're making Lego products for things they can make properties out of.
Right.
And it was weird for, you know, like a decade or something, but now it's kind of really picking up steam, and they're moving with it. And hey, you know, I'm all for it. Go rock on. Right.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I think the Lego games are pretty fun too. Like I've got the one that's the old ones were the Star Wars ones, of course. And I didn't I think I was negative about them because I wanted other Star Wars game. I got so tired of new Star Wars game announced and it's Lego. New Star Wars game announced and it's Lego. And I'm like, where the fuck is all the other Star Wars games? Like the real Star, and that's how I would put it, the real Star Wars games, and they weren't coming out. And I got really jaded when it came to the Lego type games. But then, you know, they've built such a library now. And then now when I went and got, what was it? It was the Marvel Lego on the PS4. And it was only like $6 when I got it. And it's fucking huge. Like it is gigantic. And there's so many characters, and like there's kind of like this hub world where it's New York City and you run around and you get into like different missions, and like they're big levels, like, and you kind of choose, you have two people that you are, and then like randomly throughout the level, you know, someone will pop up and you can play as them as well. So like the Human Torch will pop up and his whole moveset is completely different than anything you've played in the game. So like it's actually really fun. If they ever have a sale like that again, or if it goes on PlayStation Plus, definitely get the Lego Marvel. It was a lot of fun, and it kind of makes me want to play the Batman ones because, you know, it's in the same vein with just DC characters.
Well, and I mean, you know, they had what was the name of the game? Lego City Undercover, which was a Wii U exclusive, and it was basically Grand Theft Auto with Legos.
Well, that's cool.
It was open world, the whole bit.
The best part, by the way, of the Marvel Lego is being Spider-Man in New York City, because like the city is it's PS4, so like there's a lot on it, and I'm like, whoa, why the hell can't they make a Spider-Man game that feels like this? And like you're just going throughout the whole city as Lego Spider-Man, and it's really fucking cool.
Nice.
That's when I was like, oh wait, this isn't just another Lego game where it's like, you know, go through the level and then ends, and then go through the level and ends, and no, it's like an open world and you can be Spider-Man and then you can jump in and out of any other character. I don't know. It was cool though.
Yeah, they've found a way to make a resurgence for themselves, and I'm all for it. Here, here.
Yeah, good for Lego. This other one, Fantastic Four trailer. That was another one that dropped.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, I actually liked this one a lot more than the other one, even though it's the same dark and gritty. I've kind of gotten over that. But I think I liked this trailer a lot more.
This trailer was like X-Men meets Prometheus in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. I see here in the notes a glimpse of Doctor Doom. I didn't see that.
There was just like a shot of like the hood and the mask and everything. It was like somebody was like turning towards the camera. It was like a second of a shot.
Now, here's the question. Here's the real question. Was he – did he have a keyboard in front of him? Yeah.
No, actually, he was wearing a power glove, actually.
That makes sense, because that's what I heard the direction going.
Yeah. No, it was that, you know, it was more of like, no, they're in, you know, it's interdimensional, like it's they jump into the negative. So they're taking the ultimate Fantastic Four and they're making that the movie, essentially, is what it looks
like. See, I haven't read that series in a while. I know they're a lot younger in it.
Yeah.
And you know, the scientist guy in this trailer, he's the guy my mind's going blank here, from House of Cards. It seems like they just kind of picked people from the House of Cards and put them in this. But what's his name? He had the Rib Shack.
You asked me too quick.
I forget Freddy from House of Cards. He's in this trailer, and you can tell, and he says he's the father of them. So now it kind of makes it a little bit more clear, at least for me, you know, the dynamic of the family and, you know, and whatnot. So, you know, I assume he's Michael B. Jordan's father, you know, and so it's kind of cool. I didn't know that. I just saw in the first trailer, I didn't know they were his kids. But I guess that kind of makes sense now. He's like, oh, I'm, you know, they're all enjoying the, or they're all involved in the experiment, you know, that's going on.
Well, I mean, the whole, again, jumping back to, like, Ultimate Fantastic Four, the whole thing was, like, you know, Dr. Storm set up this initiative, and it drove, you know, it was basically like Smart Camp, but really Smart Camp.
See, I haven't read Ultimate Fantastic Four in forever. I only know kind of, I read it, but I can't tell you one thing from it, except I remember them being really young. And I remember now I know, you know, of course, with Mr. Fantastic and kind of what he's turned into now.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool. I like that take on that character. When Ultimates rebooted for the fourth or fifth time, and it was that whole run of him kind of like just destroying, you know, the United States, I was like, oh, that's a cool villain to have. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
But Mr. Fantastic would make one of the craziest villains just to outthink everybody.
And especially a teenaged, you know, a hormone-ridden, rejected, bullied Mr. Fantastic. Like, that's not handing a kid a loaded gun. That's handing him, like, the keys to an armory.
Right, it's terrifying.
The United We Stand arc. What was it? Divided We Fall, and then it went to United We Stand. That ran in the Ultimates. Yeah, that was something. It spawned out of a Ultimate Enemy, which came before that, which was kind of like the introduction to Reed's spiral into evil, and it was. But when he came back with the city, that was a great arc. It was impressive.
Totally. Yeah, man. Let's see here. What else we got? We got Transformers. What's going on with that?
The Hasbro CEO, I have his name here. Brian, was it Goldner? Says that Transformers 5 will be coming out in 2017. And that they're sitting Michael Bay and Steven Spielberg and a handful of writers down, and they're basically going to create the Transformers cinematic universe because the world has not suffered enough, apparently. And out of that, we'll have spin-offs from whatever else they decide to curse and plague us with next. So,
well, I mean, to be fair, Transformers, I think, is the right kind of franchise for that. It's just like
terrible.
It can have its own cinematic universe. I don't know why. I mean, every film you would think would have the main characters in it, like Optimus Prime and stuff like that, but you could definitely have multiple stories in that world. Now, if you like them or not, that's totally, you know,
I would like for them to have a story in that world at some point.
Right, yeah, and you know, that's
no, I get it from a business perspective. I mean, these things make $1 billion each. It would be stupid not to do it. I understand that.
It's totally subjective if you hate them or like them, but that's, I could see that being its own little world. And you know, I would like to see, you know, a story told. You know, what was the game that came out where? See, I don't know much about
Cybertron. Any of the
Cybertron,
War for Cybertron and Fall of Cybertron and all this. Yeah, those were awesome. Like, make them movies. Absolutely.
Yeah. Just robots, no humans running around going, oh my god, I'm going to say something embarrassing in front of my dad for a scene that's going to make no sense. Or, you know, the American flag 65 times.
Yeah, well, that's because it's a Michael Bay movie.
Right. Oh yeah, I love going, when I go back and watch his films now, like, what did I watch the other day? The Rock. I count. I'm like, oh, there it is. There's a shot. And like, oh man. Going back and seeing Nicolas Cage back then, and it made me think, like, why did I not think he was a horrible actor? Because this is horrible. But it's a fun film. I like The Rock. I'll defend that.
And as much as I come down on Michael Bay because he deserves it, Pain and Gain, which was fun, was ridiculous and completely out there and fun, but because it knew it, like they knew all of this was over the top. And see,
that's why you, when I saw The Rock, I saw it as a kid, and it was great. It was fun, and that's where I stopped being kind of cynical about Transformers. Where I'm like, to kids, these films have to be fantastic. Like, it's nothing but just explosions of colors and robots, and they're fighting. And to a kid, they don't give a shit about the story. They just want to see Optimus Prime and Bumblebee and them fighting. So like,
yeah, but they didn't really get that. A lot of that in the 3 hours that was whatever the subtitle for the last film was. I don't even remember.
Yeah, that. Well, that. See, the thing about the last. We don't have to get into
too
it. We don't have to get into about Transformers, but the thing about the last one was the length. I didn't. I thought it would have been great, maybe split up in two films. It wouldn't have been as, you know, just long to go into. But yeah, I remember watching the last one and I was like, wait, they're in China now? And then I remember going, an hour later going, wait, are we still in China? What is going on? And then they go back to America. There was like huge, huge set pieces in that, but yeah, so 2 more years we'll see another Transformers. That franchise is never gonna go away. It's never gonna die. People will drive to those in droves to go see it, and it's not really for us.
No, but you know, again, they make money, so I mean, it's, you know, it's business, and I may hate it because the movies genuinely suck, but you know, they make $1 billion, so what are you gonna do?
Hey, Lego Movie's gonna have a cinematic universe. We talked about the Gremlins having one. You know, the Ghostbusters, it's you know, Machete's gonna have a cinematic universe
I could
pretty
not believe, like, when Trejo came out at, like, what, like a week or so ago, and I don't know how I missed this. And like, he came out and he's like, oh no, we're filming Machete 3 in space, like, soon. Not an April Fool's joke. Absolutely, that's coming.
It makes
'Cause
sense.
for a franchise now, and I can't believe I'm using that word to describe the Machete movies, that spawned from a fake trailer from Grindhouse.
Oh, so Troma isn't doing this. Do you know what Troma is? Or did I just make a joke over your head? Troma did Toxic Avenger and all those, like, really, really bad films.
Yeah, I tried to forget Toxic Avenger, thank you.
Well, you know what we got out of those films, though? James Gunn, who did Guardians of the Galaxy.
This is true. This is
Yeah.
true, you know.
But yeah, man, no, I've never seen the Machete movies. I've seen the trailer when I went and saw Death Proof or whatever.
Yeah, the first one is fun because it knows exactly what it is. It's a movie born out of a fake trailer that played from
Right.
another movie. It's exactly what it was supposed to be. And then it did kind of well. And you know, that's what happens when movies do well. People say, "Oh, we want another." And you're powerless to
Like
say,
four.
"Yeah." It's like you're powerless to say it doesn't make sense to do another. You know, you
Right.
can't do that. You have to say, oh, well, they're saying they want another and they're going to pay for it and have this, so we do another. And Machete Kills again was not so good, but it did enough to where it wasn't, it didn't cost a lot, it didn't make a lot, but it wasn't this colossal failure. So they're saying, hey, we're gonna be more ambitious on a smaller budget than we're they because before the second Machete movie, they ran a fake trailer of Machete Kills again in space. And that's the third one. They're actually doing it, and that blew my mind. I thought they can't be serious. They really
Wow.
cannot be serious about this, but they are. So,
Hey,
you
it's
know.
got its own little Grindhouse type audience. So,
And
I
I,
mean,
you know.
we went through a phase if we had like a few different Grindhouse type films, for a few years there, but I think that kind of died out. That's kind of like the last bit of it from, 6 years ago or whatever, when they were super popular all of a
Yeah.
sudden. And yeah, so I mean, that's cool. It's news.
It's it
But
is.
what about this big one? Valiant Universe.
Ah, I am so well, 'cause remember, what was it, like a couple months ago, Valiant came out and they said, "Oh yeah, we made this 9-figure deal with this company and we're gonna bring all of our properties to TV and movies and so on," but they didn't actually announce anything at all. They were like, "This deal's been made." Everybody went, okay, and who are you guys again? It's like,
Right.
no, we're the number three comics publisher. And people went, oh, there's more of you. Okay, well, that's cute.
And I hear nothing but good things for Valiant. That's one of the things that I haven't really just dove into. And I guess when I saw this news, I thought this is the best excuse to go into it and start reading it. And
Yes.
from what I understand the story, and please, I'm totally probably wrong, and if anyone's a huge Valiant fan, I'm so sorry, I'm probably gonna butcher this, but from what I understand, like, it was a fan that bought up all the franchises and was like, I'm just gonna make them again. And that's what happened a few years ago. And he was like, you know what, I love these properties, bought them all, and then started releasing comics about it because he loved those characters so much. And that's such a fucking cool story. Now again, I remember briefly hearing this somewhere, so I probably wrong, but and then now they're gonna have their own cinematic universe. That's fucking cool. Like, what a story. Like, I think that's super cool. And I'm of course gonna go and research this after this episode, and I'll come back next week and tell you what really happened. But I'm all in for new characters, and we've seen As you know, and we shouldn't complain. We live in an age where we're seeing Batman and Superman and Avengers and all these characters on the big screen. We're gonna get Star Wars again and Jurassic Park, and holy shit, our childhood just came full circle. But to get some new characters kind of in the same realm, that's awesome. And you know, and I, like I said, I've heard from people, and these are people that I've listened for a while now on podcasts and stuff, people that I trust, the people at the comic book shop. They've always said Valiant is good, but I don't know why, just haven't picked it up. And it's one of those things where it's like, now's the time. So when I head into the comic shop this weekend, I'm definitely going to go, okay, let's start, because it only started a few years ago, so I could probably pick up a few volumes and get situated and read some, and so you know, prepare for whenever these films come out.
Yeah, your big ones, because the five film they've worked with Sony now, and they've got a five picture deal with Sony to do two films based on Bloodshot and two films based on Harbinger. And these two run in the same, they're connected to the same like shadow organization in this universe. So it
Makes
makes sense
sense.
that they're gonna do two of these, and then they're gonna do a Harbinger Wars movie, which was what happened in the comics. You had Harbinger and Bloodshot ran parallel up until this point where they converged and it became a whole thing. And I kind of fell off the Valiant wagon right before that.
Okay.
I loved Harbinger. Harbinger was really good. Bloodshot was good. I didn't think it was quite as good, but it wasn't like, oh, this is bad. I was like, no, I gravitated more towards Harbinger, and it felt kind of like a slog for me to read Bloodshot. But it's well done, it's well written. They were both solid comics. They're saying Bloodshot is going to release in 2017. They have the duo that directed John Wick is going to be directing this, which is perfect. Is
Yeah.
an absolutely perfect match for
It's
this
good, fun
material.
film. What
Jeff.
about like, 'cause I heard Archer and Armstrong is a really good Valiant comic, but I never read it. Same with like did you say Exo Manowar is going to be a part of it?
Well, what they have coming out next is they are gonna do like coming down the line. Reportedly, they have in development an Archer and Armstrong movie, which I'm with you.
Okay.
I've heard nothing but good things about, but I haven't read it, so I couldn't tell you. And Shadow Man is the other one that's in development.
Okay.
So not Exo Manowar, but again, another one. Every time I bring that up, it's like people keep beating me over the head, like, why aren't you reading this? It's so good.
Right. Yeah.
I'm
No,
like,
the group of podcasts that I listen to, and I guess I'll plug them again for free, but the Talking Comics podcast, they have their own Talking Games, Talking Movies. They actually have their own Talking Valiant now because they weren't talking about Valiant enough, and their fan base was like, these are good comics. You should be talking to them. And the guy was like, okay, we'll give you your own show and your own platform. And now they have their own little show.
Well,
So
there you go.
yeah, it's cool. I mean, like you, been beating our heads, and I'm sure over the next few podcasts, we'll, you know, at least I know I'm going to delve into it. I'm sure you are too, and you know, see what this is about, because it's cool. It seems right up my alley. I love reading like the Image type books where it's just new stories, not necessarily superheroes. This seems kind of like they are superheroes, but they're just done differently than Marvel and DC, and I'm okay with that. You know, that's we need good variety and stuff like that out there. And you
Well, I
know,
mean,
it's
they're.
super smart for Sony, like
Oh, yeah.
because if you read any of their leaked stuff, you know, all their emails, they were talking about like, guys, we keep doing 007, we keep doing Spider-Man and a fucking million Adam Sandler films. Let's get some franchises that people can get behind. And this is perfect because this is the superhero genre. And, you know, if done right, you know, it looks like it has some really fucking good talent behind it. It could make a lot of money. And it can be Sony's own little cinematic universe where they don't have to, you know, rely on just Spider-Man. And so this is super smart. I mean, what company would not want to pick up this franchise and do
No,
their own little
exactly.
thing with it?
Yeah,
You
no,
know,
and
especially
I.
because now they have all the rights to it. They can do any character they want, and depending on how it goes, and they can make these actually really dark if they want to do, because from the looks of the comics, they look pretty dark.
Well, I mean, the thing is, they're grounded. Like with
Yeah.
Harbinger, it's like it's kind of a different take on an X-Men-ish kind of team. It's like these, you know, it's like
Okay.
here are these kids and they have abilities. Yes, but they act like kids and they do stupid things and the first one you meet is a genuine just jerk. And he's, I mean, you know, the first issue you read, you're like, yeah, I could see someone that age with those powers doing exactly that. And it's no, the comics are great, and I can't get over like when I saw the that David Leitich and Chad and I am gonna butcher this. Stahelski, who did the John Wick directed duo, when I saw they were doing Bloodshot, I'm like, that's perfect. That's brilliant. I love it. And I can't wait.
Oh yeah, cool. Yeah, it looks exciting. I'm way more excited about that cinematic universe than something like Transformers. So yeah, it's totally cool. It's totally cool. And yeah, so I mean, I think that wraps it up for movies,
well,
right?
Not quite. Because I added a couple things because we had some cool news just a little while ago. This was one we kind of already knew, but Paramount has officially confirmed Bebop and Rocksteady for Turtles 2.
Are you kidding me? Oh, yeah, okay, I thought you meant spinoff film. Like, oh, no. My God, are we getting their own film? Like, I don't know if I should be excited for that or, like, what the fuck? Yeah, no, okay, Bebop and Rocksteady, they had to be in Terminator, or not Terminator, but Ninja Turtles 2.
Put them in Terminator, I want to see that.
Oh, that would be cool. Bebop and Rocksteady versus Terminator. Let's book it, because I would be there day one to see that. I'd be there at midnight. But yeah, no, it makes sense they're in the second one. I don't know why they weren't in the first. I don't know why they weren't in, you know, Ninja Turtles 2, the Ooze of Time, or whatever. Not the Ooze of Time, I'm sorry, but...
I think it was Battle of the Ooze, but I don't think that's right either. Secrets of the Ooze.
Secret of the Ooze.
Yeah, the second one. That is the one they were in, wasn't it?
No, they weren't in that.
Oh no,
they
that's
made
right.
Up
they
two new characters.
Yeah, like that's right. I forgot.
Ramon or something. Like, Razor or something.
Toka and Razor. I think.
Toka. Yeah, it was like it was cheap knockoffs, and everyone knew it. Even as a kid, you were like, who the fuck is this werewolf guy in Snapping Turtle? Give me Bebop and Rocksteady. Like, I want the punk rock, you know, the total 90s punk rock team. And then suddenly they're changed into, you know, a rhino and a warthog. So, you know, it totally makes sense, you know. Something spilled on them, or who knows, whatever. They were, you know, in that accident, the first one, and a lot of people gave shit to that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I thought it was fun. I didn't think it was that bad. I thought they looked weird, but I got over it. But yeah, so that I like that. That's good news. I mean, we all know it's coming. So if you don't like, if you didn't like it, don't go see it. But if you're even a fan at all of the first one, that's not bad news. That's, you know, if they were like, by the way, we're gonna bring out, what was his name, Razor Ramon and whatever the other guy is, like, then I'd be like, okay, I don't want to see the werewolf and the Snapping Turtle. I want to see Bebop and Rocksteady.
Well, and plus, you know, we've got Stephen Amell as Casey Jones. Like, that's
right.
That helps. That only helps.
Totally. So I'm in. I love the Turtles, and I thought the first one got a bad rap. I think it was a lot of bad rap before the film came out, so it kind of put a bad taste in people's mouth.
Well, because, I mean, people looked at this, and they said, it's a Michael Bay production. It's like, it doesn't matter that he didn't direct it or probably have a tremendous amount to do with it at all. It had its name on it.
Right,
and it's you know,
they should have just kept that out.
Exactly. It's like slapping M. Night Shyamalan's name anywhere on any film. It's toxic. And it's going to give you nothing but grief. But no, I was one of the same. I was like, I hate this idea. This is a terrible thing. Why would they do this? And then I went and saw it, and I was like, that was fun. Okay.
Yeah, it was fun. And I think we got to keep in mind who the target audience is.
Exactly.
And the target audience that saw that fucking loved it. My friend with kids, she saw it, like, her and her kids saw it, and they loved it. And they only know Ninja Turtles from the new cartoon show. And so, like, they thought they looked weird too. So, like, they were in the same boat I was.
See,
like, why did they look like that? but they loved it. They loved it, you know, Donnie going, oh my God, they got guns and stuff like that. They kept repeating that over and over again, and I thought it reminded me a little bit of me when I was that age, and I was like, yes, that's that feeling I had when I was a kid, you know, just obsessed with Ninja Turtles. Yeah, man, it's cool. Any other movie news we got?
I got one last piece of news, and this is something I haven't really been paying attention to, because I up until I saw this, I had zero interest in the live action Beauty and the Beast film that they're doing, and then I saw the cast. And I thought, okay, I might have to check this out. They announced Ewan McGregor is going to play Lumiere. But
remind me who that is.
He's the chandelier. Be our guest. That was him.
Oh, okay. Candelabra.
Yeah. But I didn't, and I knew Emma Watson plays Belle. And I was like,
how
okay,
is this going to work? Whatever. Are they going to be actual objects or humans?
I don't know. But I mean, we have Dan Stevens as the Beast. I was like, okay.
Okay.
Luke Evans as Gaston. And I thought, all right, that'll work.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Josh Gad as LeFou, the little sycophant sidekick. And I was like, well, that'll work. they have Audra McDonald plays the wardrobe. And I thought, well, all right, sure, that makes sense. And then you have Ian McKellen as Cogsworth. And I was like, all right, I have to watch this now. Like,
yeah,
I can't not go see this.
But it kind of makes me think, like, who are these movies targeted to? Like, these, because over the last few years, there's been live action kind of retelling of those cartoon, you know, movies that, of course, they took those from other, you know, fables and whatnot. But it's like live action version of those with a little bit of a twist. Whose target audience is this?
I don't know, but Maleficent was actually pretty good.
See, I started watching Maleficent. I've tried to watch the movie like 3 times, and I just didn't get into it. And something happened. Something would always happen where I was like, okay, I got to turn this off and do something. Where usually I fight. I usually like try and think of ways like, no, I can do that later. Let me continue watching whatever I'm enjoying. But with that, I was like, no, I actually would rather be doing work right now. So I don't know. Like you said, I've never really gotten into these kind of films. But that cast sounds good. I mean, that sounds great.
Yeah, that was the thing. I looked through that and I was like, wow, I didn't know any of this. I have to see this now. Like, I just can't stay away from that. And it may turn out to be a complete and total train wreck. But I mean, they're doing this live action. They're doing a live action Winnie the Pooh. They're doing a live action Mulan.
Wait. Stop. Live action Winnie the Pooh.
Yes, which defeats
How
the
is
entire
that gonna...
purpose.
Yeah, I don't. What is it going to look like, Milo and Otis? Like, I'd be down for that, actually. Like a real bear and a pig, like, just, like, rolling around doing adventures. You know, and they'd have to edit out, you know, Winnie actually eating the bear. But see, that doesn't make sense. Do Winnie the Pooh, the classic animation, even if it's CGI, I guess. But that's ridiculous. Like, that's Garfield level ridiculous.
Milo and Otis, what a magnificent pull, bravo.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I don't know about that. Who are these movies made for? Like, what is their target audience? I was thinking about that with the like you said, magnificent and stuff. Like, it's gotta be kind of like the female because they love the princess stuff. But I don't know. Like, they have, like, Disney has the Marvel ones where it's like all, you know, it's basically for people our age and kids. And, you know, I thought Disney had the cartoons and stuff for the kids. So I guess that is kind of more towards a female with, like, the romance and stuff like that. So,
well, and I mean, I think it's back to kids again because they just did a live action Cinderella and we all saw, I mean, that made mad money.
Yeah, see, I didn't even know that. I didn't follow that at all.
Yeah, no, it was it made crazy money. So, I mean,
I
guess they're just saying, hey, the same audience that we had the animated films for, now they have, you know, in some cases great grandkids, so we need to do this again, but we can't just remake the cartoons. So I mean, I don't know,
but yeah,
again, you know, I mean, it's worked twice now. The first time with Maleficent it did okay, and then with Cinderella, I mean, it made some crazy money. So I mean, you know, it's business. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, man. But all right, cool. So I think that'll do it for movies, right?
I'm pretty sure that's, I was looking back through my notes here, and I am pretty sure that is everything. Yep.
Okay, cool. I think we'll roll into video games next. I guess at first, you know, what do you want to talk about? Battlefront or?
Well, I mean, you know, we can touch on Battlefront a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, because again, we covered kind of everything Star Wars in our, in that one-off we did, but you know, it does bear repeating, you know.
Yeah,
we have a release date and something that was supposed to be a trailer.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, thinking about Battlefront, and we said it in the other episode, is I'm excited for it, but I'm hesitant, I'm reserved, I'm not as excited about it as I am what's coming after that, whatever they have in works. And I'm sure they'll see Battlefront gameplay at E3, and I hope we get a teaser for whatever the hell they're doing next, because that would be super cool. But yeah, briefly, it's going to be 4 maps, no single player campaign. It's going to be like a Hoth simulator, pretty much. Like, here's the planet, you guys are on it, fight. Battlefield-esque game. So, I mean, the thing I took away from, and it wasn't even from this showing of Battlefront, but from, like, previous stuff from, like, E3 or whatever, is it looks like they took a lot of time to make sure they put a lot of detail in it. Again, we didn't see any of that really because it was all CGI in this trailer. But you can I everything I saw from this weekend, I kept thinking about what they showed at E3 was much more than what they showed here. Does that make sense? Like, we saw them play with the models, like the actual models from the films. We saw them go into, LucasArts, treasure trove of things and actually digitally scan in all of the models. So I'm excited for that. I think that would be super cool to see all of that in the game instead of just starting from scratch like all the other ones have been.
Yeah,
So
I'm still gonna hold. I'm gonna try to reserve judgment until I see some actual gameplay, which
right.
probably won't come until E3.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised it hasn't leaked because they actually showed gameplay. One of the things I was listening to another podcast, the Beyond, the IGN guys said they were taken into a room. And normally they do this for a living where they go to these conferences and these cons and stuff like that, and they're showed kind of behind the scenes. A lot of it is behind the scenes, behind closed doors. Here's some other cool stuff we'll show you guys. Well, they actually got that, and what was cool about it is the room they brought them into was the actual, like, it was the same table from A New Hope where Vader and all of the Empire's
Oh,
whatever
nice.
generals and stuff,
Yeah.
right? It was the same table as that. They actually made the room purposely to be sh to show them gameplay and trailers like that. They said with the surround sound and everything. But anyway, they said it was super cool. And what was unique about it is no one would ever get that experience because it's kind of it, they're only going to have it really there for the con or for who knows, maybe they'll let people in that room next year at Celebration. But my point is that they were shown gameplay, and to describe the gameplay, they said is that they're on Endor and or the moon or whatnot, and they were in the forest, kind of running around, and you saw it was the what they saw was on a PlayStation, and they saw the gameplay, they saw a little bit of the HUD, and they saw, like, they were sneaking around. It was two people, and they went from, all of a sudden a speeder rant went by. And all of a sudden, all hell broke loose. Then the it was they said it was kind of like the trailer, but the trailer is very cinematic. But there's not that much of a difference. And they said when and then they start fighting. And when they said the coolest part, and this is what I was talking about before with the Jurassic Park and the jetpacks, is they go the coolest fucking scene was when they saw Ewoks fighting the stormtroopers, and they saw an Ewok grab a jetpack and just fucking take off in front of the guy. Right? They go, and then suddenly an Ewok had a jetpack, and he goes nub nub, and then he flies in front of the person, and their first thought was, "Are Ewoks playable?" And they said no comment. So, but their entire village—they said you could go throughout their village. That's actual place you can go to in the game. You can
Okay.
climb the trees and have a firefight in the Ewok villages. And they were just fucking—they were like, we were like children. And they said kind of what we were saying. Like, we understand. Seeing just that trailer, you would be a little disheartened about, like, okay, we're not getting multiplayer, we're not getting any gameplay from this. But they said behind the scenes, it really made them excited. They felt like 8-year-olds again, like, holy shit, we're gonna be in this little world. And they said all the same things we were saying, like, it's just a multiplayer game, blah blah blah. But they said this time they feel like, they said this is ridiculous because of how much crap EA gets. Because for a few years there, they were voted one of the worst companies in the world behind Comcast somehow. And they were like, this might be the redemption. And the way he put it was like,
We'll
you know,
see.
how Star Wars had a bad period. They had dark times. They had the prequels. And this is their chance at redemption. And, they're weary about getting EA a chance. But they said it looks like they put a lot of love and time into this, and they're not lying about what it is either. And so that's, I guess we can give it to them for that. They're not saying any bullshit about, Titanfall tried to pretend it had a single player campaign and it didn't. Evolve did, it doesn't. It's all multiplayer. So at least they're upfront and they're saying, here's the game. It's gonna be four maps, four worlds. You're gonna have multiplayer. We're gonna have free DLC. And then from that point forward, the plans are to drop DLC packs of planets. And that makes sense. That totally makes sense. I'd pay $12 to have, Bespin, and a whole bunch of new costumes and characters and stuff like that. And then, you know, who knows down the road. So I don't know. Anything else you want to say about it? I kind of rambled there.
Just, you know, I'm so glad that they took all of the most awesome parts of what they had to show and didn't show us.
Exactly. Like, what the
That's,
hell? What are you
yeah.
doing?
But no,
Yeah.
I get it, fine, whatever. Just when E3 rolls around, if they don't show it then,
Oh,
that's
they
when I'm going
will.
to be pissed.
They will. I mean, it comes out in Christmas, so it's gonna be
November.
at
No,
E3.
it's a month before Christmas.
Right, yeah, it's oh, that's true. Yeah, so it's gonna be at E3. It's gonna be playable at E3. I would not be surprised if that's when they start giving out like codes for beta and stuff like that at E3. But yeah, man, any new video game news?
Just one piece. Speaking of E3, that's when we're kind of expecting to see a Rock Band 4 reveal,
Oh,
is going
okay.
to be at E3. And interestingly enough, Harmonix and Mad Catz are co-publishing this one.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Mad Catz, the people that make peripherals, you know, have finally said, "Hey, you know what? This game relies on peripherals. Why the hell aren't we bankrolling this?"
Yeah. What does that mean, though? We're gonna get a whole Rock Band again. We're gonna have to get all the drum set and everything.
Well, I mean, that was kind of expected. I mean, the game is called Rock Band. You know, for
Yeah.
Guitar Hero, I understand they went back to just the guitar. Cool, fine. I understand that. But with Rock Band, I want the drums, the guitar, and the mic. I want that all over again. And that's fine. You know, I don't
Yeah,
mind that.
I think that if that actually is not a bad idea because, you know, Guitar Hero can say, hey, if you're just looking for the guitar experience, here it is. And Rock Band is for the people who are like, hey, if you want five peripherals in your living room, you can also have this. So it's kind of, you can kind of, that's what I think will kind of be the deciding factor for if people are going, you know, I kind of want to just do the guitar thing. They could get, you know, Guitar Hero. For the people who want that whole Rock Band, like you're saying, they can go get that. So that's kind of cool. I
Right,
think
and I
that's
mean that
cool.
was how it started. That was what the first Great Rhythm War was you
Right.
had to pick guitar or band, and then they both became interchangeable, and that's when it
Right.
all fell apart.
Yeah.
Because suddenly it was like, oh, it's all the same. It's all, you know, it's it, you can dress it up however you want, but it's $60 for another bunch of songs nobody listens to, nobody likes, nobody really wants to play. You know, but with Rock Band Network, they did the whole, hey, we're gonna upload like a three song pack every week for, you know, like $6 a pop. That was like the beginning of that. And I think that's what both companies are trying to do in their own way. It's like, no, we're not just releasing a game, we're building a platform. And I want there to be distinct lines. I don't want any of this cross compatibility nonsense. I don't want it. I want people to
Right.
have to pick a side because that's the only way this works. So let the second Great Rhythm War commence. I'm all for it.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I you know, we've talked about this since probably the beginning of the show is that I'm looking forward for Rock Band to make a comeback, you know, it and Guitar Hero and stuff like that. It's been a few years since I've played it and I kind of miss sitting just on my couch and having the guitar and going and playing for 10, 20 minutes and putting it away and feeling, you know, like playing video games, you know, it's subject, you know, it's what's the right word I'm looking for? But you know, I want to put it away, go like, that was fun. I got something out of those 20 minutes, and I don't feel frustrated, or whatever that I usually am with other games. You know, where like, okay, that was fun, and that, you know, that was enjoyable, and that's the kind of game you can pick up and play for 5 minutes and put it down, or you can sit there and play the whole thing through, and it's fun, and you know, it's cool. I saw some other video game news that supposedly they're dropping a new Vita in Japan with an added HDMI port. Did you see that?
I saw reports saying there may not be a new Vita.
Right, yeah. And I'm sure that's what Sony would say, I guess, if they're, you know, I don't, I'm surprised there's any new Vita news at all. Even though, I mean, at one point in time this year, they had more games with release dates for Vita than any other console.
Yeah, I mean they're pushing the Vita, and they really
Yeah,
are.
I love my Vita. I play it all the time. Recently there, I mean, I want to get, what was it, Freedom Wars, I heard it was really good, but you know, I just got the 3DS and whatnot, so I've been playing a ton of that. 3DS is kind of where my time goes with video games and, you know, the PlayStation, but yeah, no, I've been playing a lot of the PlayStation Plus games on the Vita when they drop. So I just got what was the Killzone for the Vita? I downloaded it. I haven't played any of it yet though, but I'm looking forward to play it because I mean that's like a $35 game if you were to buy it just a few weeks ago. But yeah, man, there wasn't that much too much video game news this week. Do you know anything else?
No, I mean that's everything that I had jotted
Cool.
down here.
All right, we'll go into we'll do comics next.
Well, again, we don't really have a lot to talk about here either, I don't think.
No, right, yeah, like the Convergence stuff. Like I didn't read much about it. I just read, you know, some Superman stuff, some Batgirl stuff. But it's, I mean, I think I discussed it before on the show. I'm not sure, but it's just all of the same. Like we're taking these worlds and we want our heroes to fight and. It seems exactly like what the original Secret Wars was. It's this crazy guy who's, you know, Brainiac or whatever, and it's the Brainiac. I don't even know. I'm totally confused actually because I don't. I think the person that's talking to everybody is not Brainiac, but that's the only thing this creature has seen. So he looks like every incarnation of Brainiac, and like he shows Superman. Like he's like, and he shows the death of Superman, of every famous death of Superman. I don't know. So anyway, it's they're just fighting, and all these characters are kind of thrown in, and they're characters that big DC people, I'm sorry, like old fashioned DC people, the people that were there before, you know, New 52 that loved all that stuff. They like it because they see their old characters in there. But people like me, I'm not. It's not that exciting. You know, you see the end of. You kind of see the injustice, like what happens to that. That's kind of cool. I don't know if you read that. Did you read the Convergence 0 or 1?
I did not, no.
Okay, I don't know if I want to spoil that then, but you kind of see what happens to those characters from the Injustice game. It takes place like right after the game, a little bit after the game, or it definitely takes place after it, and you see kind of the fallout of all of those characters. So that was kind of cool. But yeah, you see these, you know, it starts out, and this isn't that big of a spoiler, but it starts out with like the character. This is kind of like an Earth 2 event because it's the end of their Earth, and when they come to this whatever it is, this convergence, there's no Metropolis, there's no Gotham City, and the Brainiac guy's like, wait, where's the city at? And he's like, the city's gone, it's just us. And so they're kind of thrust into this where it just seems like it's going to be hero versus hero, and you know, then we'll go back to the New 52 when it's done.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I've been reading a lot of Star Wars. What about you?
I did pick up I did flip through the Darth Vader that they're doing.
Well, how'd you like it?
I love it. You were
Yeah.
right. Yeah, because you talked about it a lot on our Star Wars episode, and I was like, okay, then I guess I kind of have to pick this up and go through it. And I'm like, I want more because
Yeah.
it is really good.
Oh yeah, totally. Totally. I like it. I like the dynamic between our new character and Vader, and it's cool 'cause she's quirky and she's, you know, like kind of there is, I guess, the comic relief to Vader where he's just like he's just totally Vader the whole time. I'd forget some things he says, but he's just like what do you say? Hold on. Let me get a quote from him in it. It's just it's a lot of scenes of him not saying anything, her saying a lot, and then he's just like all this effort for no, hold on. It was just like ridiculous Vader stuff, you know what I mean? Like I don't need reinforcements. I am the reinforcements. And like just stupid Darth Vader stuff that I absolutely love. And the next issue should be cool too. So like you're caught up, you're on 4.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So it's gonna be cool seeing going into like, you know, who's his rivalry or who's gonna be, you know, gunning for his job. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and I love how we have kind of a I'm waiting for the pilot because that's the only flip side character we don't have.
Oh yeah, the droids. Yeah, how cool were they?
I love it.
Right,
I
like
love
the
it.
evil C-3PO, where he's like he's all excited to torture somebody.
And then just and the homicidal R2 unit. It's like, it's great. Yeah. I'm like, hey, I remember in the third episode, I remember in episode three when R2 set all those droids on fire. I'm like, maybe this is where he learned it?
Right, yeah. And I thought it was cool, like, the scene where they go to Genosha, or is it Genosha? Am I mixing up my planets?
Geonosis,
that's it, yeah. And maybe. It shows them, like, you know, coming through the tunnel, and he's like, have you been here before? And then it shows them, you know, him back then when he was a kid, or when he was in his 20s or whatever, when he's a young person. But yeah, I thought it was cool. I mean, Darth Vader's definitely been my favorite at the Star Wars standalone one. It's okay. But I definitely like the Darth Vader, which was surprising. I didn't think I'd like it as much as I did. But yeah, I'm really, just with comics, I'm really waiting for the Secret Wars. And yeah, we talk about that. We got a X-Men comes out of the closet. Iceman, what do you think about that?
Well, kind of dragged out, more like.
Right, that was kind of rude, right?
The way it came down, look, here's what happens. Young Jean Grey, I think, I don't know.
Probed in his mind,
or
right?
Not, whoever it was.
Let's be fair, we haven't actually read the comic, we just saw like a few panels from it.
Right, but it's like, yeah. she's reading his mind, and she's like, yeah, but you're gay. No, I'm not. Yeah, you are. You're thinking it. Stop reading my thoughts. But you're thinking it. I'm thinking it because you're saying it.
And that's kind of rude. Like, because I have some friends that are gay, and I would not ever want to, like, make them uncomfortable if, you know, they weren't out or whatever. You got to think of someone at that age, like in high school or whatever. You wouldn't want to corner them and, you know, be like, yeah, so you're gay or something like that, because that's not, you know, that's not something he might be comfortable with. So it's a little strange. I personally think.
But by the same token, though, you look at somebody opposite them who's also the same age, and it's not, you know, we may think of it as kind of like a really kind of like awful thing to kind of do to somebody. But at that age, like, it's almost, it's maybe sadly kind of an expected action,
right? Yeah,
in a sense. The way the panels kind of unfold, it's like, yeah, but he doesn't hate her for it or whatever. And then, you know, we talked about this a little before the podcast, like, why? Yeah. And I'll let you do this, because I agree with you, and I want you to run with this, because you're way more passionate about this particular kind of thing than I am. Is why just flip the script like this instead of make a new interesting character?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And that's what we talked about, was like, you know, you have Khan and you have Miles Morales, and like, you have these interesting new characters that are diverse and different, and, you know, they're not shoehorned into this one thing. And it seems like that's what they did with Iceman, or at least with this. Again, I'm holding judgment until I actually read the comic, but when you take an existing character and you're like, you know, it, for example, like they did with DC, you know, they took Alan Scott and, you know, or Wally West, and they changed Wally's race, they changed Alan West to be gay. But granted, those are, well, I guess this is an alternate version of Iceman too, but like,
no, it's past Iceman.
It's past Iceman, but in a way, this is this Iceman could have a different experience than the past Iceman, because the past Iceman is how old now? Where, and that kind of gets into the question of, what is Brian Michael Bendis trying to say with this? Because,
exactly,
you know, I think Iceman is kind of like, wait, no, I'm not. And that she's really making him question it, where the other Iceman probably just, this is where it kind of bleeds from reality to fiction. And
right,
that, like,
it does kind of.
If they rebooted X-Men, let's say, and they were like, by the way, one of the five main characters is gay, who cares? Like, great.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Fine.
That makes sense. It's 2015. You couldn't do that in the 60s. No, couldn't do that. So they made that, you know, metaphor that, you know, these are mutants and these are different. And, it's that kind of like, that's the kind of thing about the mutants, is that they always had that thing where society isn't fully on board yet. And, you know, now this is Iceman being a mutant and gay. It's like twice that for him. So it's like you kind of said, it's My thing is that, like, and again, I don't, I, it's whatever. It's going to be what it is. And I don't have that much of a problem with it, but it's just kind of like, this feels like lazy writing.
Right.
This, you know, and then, which is surprising because Brian Michael Bendis came up with Miles Morales, who is one of my favorite characters right now. And they didn't just say, oh, we have Peter Parker, who's now, you know, mixed races. No, they kept Peter Parker was there, you know, and he's still in the 616, and he died in, you know, spoiler alert, the Ultimate Universe, but they created a new character and they made him interesting. They have his, he has his own stories, he has his own kind of like characters around him that are really cool, you know, and instead of doing that with this, it was like, you know, they oh, by the way, Iceman, now you're gay. And it's like, wait a second, he's had a long list of women, and he's, to me, whenever I read him, I never got that. And so it's like, it is kind of weird that they're like, Jean Grey's now getting in his head and making him come out and say that. And in the panels, you see him kind of questioning it. Like, he's
Right,
like, wait, no, I'm
and
not.
that's that raises the part of the debate that I don't know if anybody wants to have, because it gets into, you know, because she's talking to original Iceman,
Right.
not the one we've had for a while, but the one that came through when they all time traveled. And
Right.
it's like I at least, and I'm like, I just it raises it, because even he brings up the question of like, but the older me isn't, is he? I am what? And it gives,
It's
you can see it gives him a headache, and I'm just like that. That's what kind of throws me about this is like, why? You know, I get it. They want to say, well, you know, hey, this could be a thing, and that's fine, whatever. My problem isn't
yeah.
that. My problem is, like you said, it's just kind of lazy writing. It's like, here, we're just gonna stick this. You know, we're gonna change this characteristic because we don't
Right.
want to. We don't want to write somebody different. I mean, you know, we did it with
Exactly.
North Star, but they found a way to make that interesting, and they
I
made
made
it
it
work,
plausible.
and they had the big wedding, and I mean, and it was
Right.
nice, and it was really great. It was a great arc, it was a great character, it was a great story. But you know, do that with somebody new.
Right,
You know,
exactly. And then
that's.
Marvel's been really good at that recently. I mean, even, and this kind of gets into the other kind of news, like Mortal Kombat. They said it's not
Yeah.
Liu Kang, it was who?
Kung, is it
Kung Lao?
Kung Jin, his nephew,
Yeah,
Kung Jin.
Kung Lao's nephew. Yeah, his nephew. And you know, there's a brief scene in Mortal Kombat where, you know, it's very much suggested, you know, they shouldn't judge you for who you love. And so it very very clearly makes, you know, him a gay character. They didn't just say, "Oh, Kung Lao is now gay." No, they didn't. They made a new character and an interesting character, and I like playing as him in the game. Like
Yeah.
he and that doesn't define him. It's just he's a cool character. So that's where I'm like, "Wait a second. Why couldn't they, you know, why it, to me it just seems like lazy writing and headlines. They just wanted headlines to like, oh, Iceman's gay, because that's literally every headline I saw, and oh, and very few of them even went into the fact that this was a past version of Iceman. Because let's be real, those people reading those articles, they don't read the comic books. They could care less.
No,
It's just
and I.
attention. Let's get people talking, and
Yeah.
you know, who knows what all this means in a few,
And it would
you
give
know,
them,
month from now.
yeah, it would give them so much more to write about if they actually went into the fact that this is the younger version of the current character that they're talking
Exactly.
about.
So
And it, so it's, I mean, you
it
know,
could be a
but.
fun arc. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see him now interact with older Bobby, which is, to me, Bobby has always kind of been like a playboy. Like he's always kind of had like a
Right, and
girl after
was.
a girl after a girl, and he, I don't know, it's just very different. So that's going to be an
Yeah, but
interesting to
it's
see
like
how they go with that.
it raises another question of like, was that a mask? And I mean, you know, I think we talked about this earlier. Not
Right.
only was it not only is he a mutant, not only is he an X-Man, not only is he one of the founding X-Men, and with everything that has happened to him throughout his career as an X-Man, on top of this, also, by the way, he's gay. So,
Right.
you know, of all of those things, which one can you know, all of the pressure coming at you for each one of those things? Which
Right. And see, I
one
guess that's the thing
can
is
you hide?
we
Yeah.
never but we never saw that. Like we never saw him fight with that ever. ever. There was no question, at least from the reader's point of view. We never, I at least I never did, never saw him, you know, because you would imagine, and again, this is all where of course it's fiction, and of course it's like a soap opera. It just changes by the person writing it. So, you know, of course they didn't write it like that back then, but at least I've never got the you would think that someone who is bi or whatnot, living like, you know, in that 60s or whatever, they would be fighting with that. And he never fought with that. It totally, to me, seems tacked on. You know, if they did it to a character that you never really saw them, you know, in a long, I don't know, just it doesn't seem, it seems tacked on, I guess that's all I'm trying to say. Is
Yeah.
it, and we never saw him fight with that. We never saw him make any sort of ever, you know, insinuation that, you know, he was one way or the other. It's always been one way with his character. And I don't know, it just seems kind of tacked on. Like,
But, you know, after Secret Wars, all of this is going to be rewritten again anyway, so, you
is
know.
that true though? Because I mean, when I saw the all new, well, I forgot what it's called, but the all new, all great or whatever Avengers,
All
it
new, all
looks,
different Avengers, yeah.
yeah, it looks like it takes place in the same world. Takes place in the, you know, but they actually, you're right. They might fix the whole time travel thing where the X-Men go back, and you know, the we have one set of X-Men. I hope that happens. I hope we get one set of X-Men again, and not like, I don't even know how many X-Men are running around now. And yeah,
Yeah,
it
but
just,
no,
it
I mean,
seems
you know.
like, you know, they did this with what, Drake, and you know, when they created his character, you know, he had his own story, and you know, they didn't hide his sexuality at all. He was a very bi character. He kind of did with whoever he wanted to get whatever he wanted, and you know, and it, I don't know, to me it seems like the writers were like, well, we didn't get enough splash with that, let's just actually change someone. And I don't know, that's just where it seems like it totally tacked on. But I don't know, it's my opinion. But I can't wait to read it. I love Brian Michael Bendis stuff. Did you read that apparently he is not going to be writing Miles after this whole Marvel Now thing? I forgot if it was just a rumor or whatnot,
Well,
but
and I mean it may have something to do with how he's integrated into the new universe
that's
too.
true. That's true. It's going to be interesting. I hope they do a mix-up of writers, because it's sometimes, especially with like Avengers, I don't want to see, it's going to be Mark Waid. So it's going to, I'm excited to see
Yeah.
Waid take on the Avengers instead of Jonathan Hickman, because I like Hickman, but that was too much. Like, I it kind of turned me off from the Avengers books. It turned me off a lot. So it's definitely made me like, okay, let's see what comes out next, because I'm tired of planets crashing into each other for 2 or 3 years, however long it's been. It's
Yeah.
kind of annoying at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, next month we'll have a lot to talk about, I think, with Secret Wars, because both me and you read, I think, a lot more Marvel than we do
I am
DC.
going to tear through sequels. I'm going to read all of this I can get my hands on because I'm
Right.
like with Convergence, like I'm not even like, oh, let me try this and see if it's good or not. Like I can't get excited for it. With
And the thing
Secret
is,
Yeah, like with Secret Wars, I'm gonna grab everything and then I'm gonna start weeding out like, oh no, this one doesn't interest me, that one doesn't interest me. But you know, it's gonna be, you know, it's gonna be cutting out the chaff instead of trying to find any gems anywhere in there. It's gonna be the opposite way of doing it. So yeah, we're gonna have a much broader comics portion once Secret Wars gets going.
And I've been, I mean, we, I think, like, I feel I've been living with the Marvel characters a lot more over the years than I have with DC. So like, there's a, like, when it goes back to the 90s X-Men, I'm gonna be like, yes, I remember this from my childhood. Much like I imagine people who read the old DC, they feel with Convergence.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I don't really have much else comic news. There's one I heard about, and I'll just briefly mention it, because I haven't read it or anything. I heard about it that I can't wait to read. What's called We Can Never Go Home, and I don't know much about it. Like, the synopsis was, a well-worn mixtape, a stolen convertible, a duffel bag full of cash, and a fully loaded 45, and superpowers. So it's like 17 and on
I'm
the
in.
run, the only way to see America right. So like, when I heard that, and I've heard people talk about it, I was like, that sounds like fun. So, and it's from like, the publisher's Black Mass Comics. I don't know. So I'm trying to get my hands on that. So I'll try to get that
Yeah,
in the
sure.
next. Let's see here. Oh wait. I think I don't know if that's out yet. Okay, well, I guess I heard about it, and it does. Oh no, okay, I guess that's vault. No, okay, that comes out. in next month. So, well, I guess I won't talk about it until next month. I heard about another podcast and they said they read it, or maybe I misunderstood them, but when I heard the synopsis, I was like, that sounds like fun. I want to read that. So I'll let you guys know next week if it's out, if I read it, and if it's not, then, you know. But yeah, I don't really have any other comic news besides that.
No, I'm comicked out
All
there
right,
too.
so well, we'll get into TV, and I guess we'll stay kind of on the comic stuff with TV because there's a lot of comic stuff coming out. I saw that they officially did a new we're gonna have Daredevil season two, which is
Yes.
cool. So
Next year,
that's what
2016.
you're right, and that was the big question. We know that Jessica Jones is at the end of the new year, and then we know that Iron Fist and Luke Cage is going to be next year. But we were thinking, when is there going to be Daredevil season two? Because as much as I'm excited for those other things, I want to see what happens next, and I don't want to wait
Yeah.
2 years. So now I guess we're going to be getting this on top of Luke Cage and on top of Iron Fist, and that's going to be cool. That's going to be exciting.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
there was one big shakeup. The showrunner, whose name completely escapes me, has a commitment with
I saw
some
that.
feature film, so he will not be back for season two.
Right. I saw the two of the people that helped him, though, I guess through a majority of it, are now going to be the showrunners, which makes
Doug
sense.
Petrie and Marco Ramirez, who were writers for the
Okay.
whole of season one, are going to be showrunners now.
Hey, that's good. I mean, some other shows that lost their showrunners I thought was great was like Walking Dead. It turned out to be okay. And so I'm excited for it. I actually hope they give him a little bit different suit because I hope it's a little bit down the road and he adjusts it a little bit. And I can't even think who they would have in the. I saw this whole thing on Easter eggs,
Yeah.
Daredevil, and there was so many that I did not catch. I'll send you the video later, like Stiltman, and just so many references to the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
And like, there's even like a Miles Morales Easter egg in there.
Really? Okay, now that one I totally missed.
Well, it's the way they say it is when he comes to the room, he goes, "Hey, I just ran into Morales." And the guy writing the article just he kind of went a little far on he stretched it a little bit on how that could be Morales, his father, I guess it would be. But yeah, there's a lot of different Easter eggs that have to do with like existing characters and like just connections that were just crazy that I didn't think of, and I can't think of off the top of my head right now,
Well,
but
oh man, there was one that just completely slipped my mind. The orphanage that he was
oh
in
yeah,
was the same as, and I can't remember the character.
Black Widow.
Yes, thank you. Was
Yep,
it?
yep. Yeah. It was
Okay.
no, I'm sorry, it was Skyler. It was Sky from Agents of Shield.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it like the, yeah, there was so many cool little ones. Like for example, the Stiltman one was out of nowhere, but they showed a scene where he was in that guy's shop creating something and he had a pair of like crazy stilts. And I guess Stiltman was one of the bad guys in the show. I forget what character he was. I think he was the black guy, the one that got his he got punched in the face in the first episode. His name is, I guess, the same character as the Stiltman. So I had no idea. There was just so many random things. And like I guess certain names of certain companies in the show are comic book companies as well. So I don't know. It was cool. I'll send you that video. I'm drawing a blank now of what all the Easter eggs were, but it was like Sunday Movies. I don't know if you've ever been to that YouTube channel. He does like a, six things you missed in this movie or this trailer or whatever. But yeah, no, I'm excited. If you think about it, like, and this goes in the next thing, the Agents of Shield. We have the what were their name?
Adrian Palicki and Nick Blood, who
Right, they're going to
are.
star in their own spin-off. So we can only imagine they're going to be just two agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something like that, doing their own show, which makes sense. They were introduced in this season. I think they're cool characters. They're nothing amazing, but who knows?
Well, now, and I mean, the thing is, they've been very careful not to say they're starring in, but they're headlining.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Yeah,
and
so.
I wonder just what kind of difference that makes.
Yeah, no, totally. That, and you know, from what I understand, there's, you know, it, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. The thing about Shield is the first season ended completely different than the whole show was. So who knows how season two will end. And season two to me hasn't been that good. I was expecting a lot more, but we have Avengers 2 in a few weeks, and I can only imagine there's going to be a big shakeup after that.
Sure.
And I'm excited for it. We have a lot of Inhuman stuff in it, and to me though, it's like, okay, let's move on with the story. I don't know. I want the story. I want. It seems like this arc has been going on for about a season now, and I want it to change. I want something, and hopefully it does. Hopefully after Avengers 2, there's a big shakeup, and I can't wait to start getting into the Civil War type stuff because that's going to be the perfect platform for the Civil War like build up. You know, the TV shows, especially the Netflix stuff, like the Daredevil. Yeah, he's I think the only masked character in the Marvel universe where no one knows his identity except for a few people, where everyone else they're just no masks. So,
Yeah.
the Civil War buildup, and that makes sense. Yes, put him in season two and make the whole season kind of building up to the Civil War stuff. Put Spider-Man in there. Like, you can do that now because actually Marvel owns the rights to put Spider-Man on television. So, you know, instead of just the TV, they have the movie deal with Sony, of course, but they actually have the rights for live action on TV. So they could easily put Spider-Man in one of those shows, or you know, hint at him, or you know, talk about him, stuff like that. Like, and that's what I'm excited about. I'm kind of excited for like Civil War type stuff. So, and we also got the other spin-off. Well, it's not a spin-off, but the third Marvel film. And rumor is
Show.
it's going to be Miss Marvel.
Show. Rumor, next show, you mean.
Show, right. Yeah, I'm
Well,
sorry.
big rumor. Like, this is not, this is, you know, take this with a grain of salt. But
Right.
we did learn, what, like a week ago, that John Ridley, who wrote 12 Years a Slave and worked with ABC on, what was it, American Crime or
Yeah.
whatever it was recently,
Yeah.
they want to work with Marvel on a series with a different character. And
Right.
the rumor going around is that the Kamala Khan character, Miss
We're
Marvel,
big fans. Like, we've talked about her a
yeah,
lot.
well,
And so.
because she's interesting. It's a fascinating character. It was
It
what
is.
it was Marvel's answer to when they were like, hey, we need an Islamic Green Lantern. And that fell apart.
That failed miserable. I don't even know where people know that character is nowhere to be found in
He
the DC
had
universe right now.
one like he was in the Green Lantern Zero issue, and then they stuck him in what was it, in was it Justice League of America, I think
Yeah, he
was
was
where
in
Simon wound up.
International too, I think, or I'm not sure.
But like it, there was potential there, and then they just completely dropped the ball. That, I mean, you know,
Right.
that's all them. Whereas as Kamala is a fascinating character,
Well,
and
she's
it.
fleshed out, and she doesn't. They, you know, it's, you know, it's. It talks about, you know, her living in the world where, you know, her parents are very much religious, and she's not so much. Like she, you know, it's kind of like us. You know, it's kind of like our generation where, you know, it's very relatable. It's very, you know, her parents are so strict and so, you know, like most people parents are, and they're so set in their ways where they can't kind of see how. You know what I mean? Like, and she's like that teenager where it's like, look, my whole life isn't about that, and I want to have fun with my friends, and I want, you know, she goes into school and she, like, her interests are boys, of course, because that's what her interests are at that age and stuff like that. And you know, I've heard this comparison a lot, and I couldn't agree more that it's the Spider-Man of our generation, and because. Right, and it's done right because she's a really relatable character. Where back then, Spider-Man was so relatable because he was barely paying his bills, and you know he had so much trouble with women, and you know he had real issues. Like, how was he going to pay the power bill? Because being a superhero doesn't make me money, and so like she's kind of the. You know, version of she's like the new Peter Parker, and it's super interesting and super cool. What I'm curious about is. They're gonna do her show. She's obsessed with who is Miss Marvel at the time, who's now Captain Marvel. They gotta introduce her before Miss Marvel.
Well, they're actually the talk is that they're gonna do this kind of pre-Avengers all of that and focus more on the like the cultural impact.
Yeah, that's cool. I know,
it would be a great way to introduce that character. It really would.
I don't like the here's the character, but before they got all their superpowers. That's great for an episode or two, but to me, it's like you're given just a sprinkle of what it could be. It's like Gotham. Like it's great that's there, but I want to see Batman. That's what we pay our ticket for. With her, it's great to build up her character for a few episodes and maybe for a season, but I want to see her, that excitement of getting that abilities,
right?
And that thrill that she gets. You know, I don't want to see another fucking origin. It's like seeing too many origin films. It's like we've seen that. You know what would be cool though? This is what I could see them doing. Of, you know, maybe Miss Marvel, Captain Marvel is mentioned in one of the films before then. That could totally plausible. But this actually would be not a bad way to introduce her. They could show her point of view of seeing Miss Marvel or Captain Marvel, and they would only have to show her in a few episodes. And she could just say, that's my superhero. I'm obsessed with her. You know, she fights alongside Iron Man and all that other stuff. And this show could actually just take place years down the road. You know what I mean? Like, take place a year after what's going on in the cinematic universe.
Well, and I mean, here's the thing. They're talking about this is only going to be like a 6-episode, like, Agent Carter-style miniseries.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, this isn't going to be a full run. Like, this is...
You know what?
Yeah.
I take that back, then. I could totally see them doing it without her. She could still be obsessed with Miss Marvel because she is before she gets her powers. But that's... I could totally see 6 episodes introducing the character and sprinkling in the, you know, the... Because... They could easily tie this into the thing in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the mist thing, because that's how she gets her powers.
Exactly.
Well, and
I mean,
happens a little differently.
And here's the thing. Think about this. What they've kind of inadvertently done with Agent Carter was they said, hey, we can do like these short, like mini series kind of things that are character centric. Now, if they're going to branch out and they're going to do something like that, you know, like 6 episodes with Kamala Khan, what are the, you know, every time Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. goes on break, what do they do next time? Who do they introduce? Let each of these mini series introduce another character. And I think that's a freaking fantastic idea.
Oh yeah, totally, totally. And if she's getting her own series, it's gonna be that's cool because, you know, it's gonna be her, and I would like to see her kind of like obsess over that hero who we'll hear in the miniseries, we might hear mentioned here and there, and then suddenly we see Captain Marvel, you know, as Miss Marvel in the movies, and like you as the audience, you're like, okay, I see why she was getting excited, I see why she was obsessed with that character, and then make that interaction in the film or leading into Inhumans or something like that. Who knows what they're doing over there? That's just a fanboy's dream, but I'm saying that would be cool. Her down on her TV show, like, I love that character up there, and then in the movie, you know, you see it come full circle, and you see maybe that interaction, and you're, as the audience, if you watch the show, you're like, oh my god, there's that interaction, there's them two talking, or, you know, there's her meeting her hero, and, you know, I don't know, that's just a fanboy dream, but that'd be super cool, and, you know, if you think about this, we have at least 2 blockbuster Marvel films a year. We'll have at least 3 TV shows on during the year, and we'll have at least 3 Netflix shows on during the year. Like, we are just packed full of Marvel shit, like, if you think about it.
And it's all good.
It's all good, yeah. There's not one thing negative about any of it. The only time I ever hear anyone talk negatively about Marvel is when they were saying – it's so family-friendly, and it's not as dark. To me, that's not negative. To me, I like that.
Okay.
But now we have Daredevil.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Now you
so
can
now we have
up.
Daredevil to kind of be like, well, here's what you've been asking for from Marvel. They gave it to you.
Yeah.
Where we're still waiting for DC to drop the other ball, where it's like, oh, here's kind of the family-friendly superhero film instead of just not dark all the time, you know. But yeah,
well,
so
one,
I mean, that's
one
exciting.
One could argue the Flash runs a little more
true,
a little true. Younger of an audience. It's not quite as intense.
And that's the thing, like I don't know if I already mentioned this, but I was trying to explain to somebody today. How the like? I was sitting down with some friends and I was watching The Flash, and like, what are you watching? I was like, oh, I'm watching The Flash. They know who The Flash was when I was explaining the episode. I'm like, oh, well, that guy, he's actually bad, but he's trying to play off like he's good. And the Flash and all the other characters know that he's bad, but they're trying to not let him know. And he's actually, like, he changes shape. And the guy in the episode, the other bad guy, changes shape. And I just stop myself. And I'm like, this is fucking silly. And this is ridiculous. And this is extremely hard to explain to anybody who doesn't watch The Flash. Like, you would have to start from episode one because it's so...
And you should, because it's a great show.
It is, yeah. It's fun for anyone who's been on the ride this long and who gets it. Like, you totally get it, but man, I just realized, like, how fucking hard that was to explain.
Yeah, wait
like,
until you have to try to explain Grodd.
Yeah, that's... See, that's gonna... That's their Guardians of the Galaxy moment. I think
yes.
they did that.
Yes.
They were like, this is us showing the audience that we're going there, it's coming, and to get prepared for it, because we're going there, and we don't care, and you know, our audience, the comic book... we're at that point now where they can have Rocket Raccoon in a movie... Why can't you have Wolverine in his yellow costume? Like, it's we're at that point where studios are not afraid to go there.
Well,
and I like that.
Because they already made the yellow spandex joke 15 years ago. You know,
like. Right, exactly. And you know, there was that scene in the Wolverine or whatever that was cut out. It's in the director's cut or whatever, where Wolverine actually does get his yellow costume at the end of The Wolverine, and he gets that outfit, and you know, he opens up the box and it's his gloves and his helmet or his mask or whatever, and we never actually see what happens after that, because after The Wolverine, the only thing in the future we saw was the last film that they did. And if you see, you know, he's kind of wearing the yellow costume in that film, he just has a lot of armor over it. So it's, you know, who knows what we'll see. I don't know if we'll even see it. I guess The Wolverine, or it was the second one. Yeah, The Wolverine. The third Wolverine will probably take place after the second one. And that time period, like, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll see him in that costume.
Yeah, try explaining the X-Men timeline to somebody.
Oh,
I dare you.
Nope. Yeah, you
I would
can't,
pay
you
money
know,
to see that. I really
it's
would.
Talking about Iceman. It's so confusing. When people read that article, they're just like, wait, Iceman's gay? How could that be? You know, it's like, wait a second. That's his, like, you know, him from the past. That he, you know, hasn't grown up yet. I don't know, but yeah. So I mean, what's some other? Let's see, TV
well,
news.
Well, let's stay on comic TV news.
Okay,
we finally did confirm Dominic Cooper, who played Howard Stark, is like I said, officially confirmed to star as Jesse Custer in AMC's Preacher series.
Ah, yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that. That's a perfect place for it. Is AMC? That's gonna be awesome.
Right, and who was someone was tagged in, or someone's writing it? It's
Rogan, Seth Rogan.
Yeah, Seth Rogan, right?
Which is
yeah.
I'm telling you what, that's bizarre.
Yeah, yeah.
That's bizarre.
He's a huge fan of him, apparently.
I will wait and see, and I hope it's great because it should be. But man, that's not who I would have picked.
No, know it's gonna have some comedy there. I mean, it's his writing partner Evan Goldberg. Everything
yes.
they've done together, and it's got Garth Ennis. You know, he's a creator, so he's actually on there as like a writer as well. So they're gonna have the creator on there, kind of. You know, and like I said, I love everything Evan Goldberg and Seth Rogen do. Like the Superbad is what started it with me with those, and I loved that. I loved The End. I loved Pineapple Express. The Interview wasn't that big of a fan of, but you know, it's interesting to say the least. And I'm excited.
But yeah. So I mean, yeah. So I mean, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I don't know much about The Preacher, but I've heard nothing but good things.
Preacher was a good series. Preacher was a good series. I'm looking forward to this.
Cool.
Speaking of really odd and strange things, we did get confirmation about Fuller House. It is going to be made. It is going to be called that. It is going to be about DJ and her friend. It is going to be 13 episodes, and I, you know, it's going to be a thing. So there's that. And this news may be the strangest thing I've seen all week. Paramount, digging back through their library, decided we found this movie from 1999. We want to make into a TV series. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on to your hats. What you've always wanted, what you've dreamed of for the last 16 years, Galaxy Quest the series is coming to TV.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know. But to think about it this way, the whole idea behind Galaxy Quest was to spoof every sci-fi kind of everything that had been big.
Right.
Well, all of that stuff is big again. So balance the scales, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, what kind of pisses me off, and this is my cynical take on it, is where the fuck is a Star Trek TV show? Why do we not have that? And we're getting a Galaxy Quest. Like, this is a tease. I want Star Trek. Like, we had Battlestar Galactica there for a little bit, but we don't have Star Trek, and it's kind of sad. We've had Star Trek for so many years in some way, shape, or form on television. We don't have that now. And what's crazy is that the fantasy genre is bigger than ever on TV right now. The comic book genre is bigger than ever right now, and there's a serious lack of science fiction. And they're leaving money on the table with it. And I Galaxy Quest might take that, but where is Star Trek? Why are people at Paramount not making that?
I know because we're making the film. They still remember Enterprise. That's why.
Honestly, Enterprise. I don't think that was that bad.
I think you're the only one.
No. I didn't think it was bad at all. But you know, maybe I'm the only one. But like, yeah. I would kill for a new Star Trek show, for like a Next Generation type Star Trek show. And we live in the day and age of where geek shit is popular now. Like I said, fantasy is bigger than ever. Comic book stuff is bigger than ever. No one would have imagined that. And for years, all we had for the genre type stuff was science fiction and a lot of strange ghost shit. But now like, there's no science fiction on TV anymore. And we have these like, what's that new show Fox is coming out with? Shit.
they're working on a few.
It reminded me, oh God, what? My mind just went blank now.
Talk to me. Help me out here.
I'm looking it up now. Upcoming Fox shows. Hold on a second. It was like a new town that the guy was going into. Wayward Pines. Okay, have you seen this?
Wayward Pines. I've heard about it.
Yeah, let me look up the synopsis for you.
Well, because the whole thing is like this dude wakes up in a Silent Hills inspired kind of creepy town.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's got Matt Dillon. What's his name? He played Terrence Howard.
Yes.
In it, and it's to me, it reminded me of what's that old TV show? It was really weird.
Twin Peaks.
Yeah, that's what it like. The look of it kind of felt like, and yeah, it's like this strange. What's going on around me? I don't understand. Am I dead? Is this a joke? You know, that kind of thing. And it looks interesting. So we get shows like that, but like I want like science. Lost. You know, arguably was a science fiction show, and so I want more of that. I want that in space. I want a Star Trek show. Battlestar Galactica. After that, they left the door open for so much, and that's to me where kind of science fiction television died, was with Battlestar Galactica. I think people were like, okay, that was good. Why was there not a bunch of other ones? Why weren't anyone trying to make that? Kind of like after Lost, everyone tried to make a show like Lost and it failed, I guess, but there was nothing after Battlestar Galactica, at least to me. And I would love to see that. I mean, we got X-Files coming back.
Yeah. But you know, look, if you're not going to give me another, like if you're not going to give me a reboot of Space Cases, then I just don't want to hear about it.
Space Cases. To be honest, don't know what that is.
It was, oh man, there may be one person out there who's just dying of laughter. This is like your Milo and Otis pull from earlier.
Oh wow.
Like anybody that gets it is like, wow, nobody, you're like the one person that saw that show.
Okay, I see an image of that, and that is very, very 80s.
It was a Nickelodeon take on Star Trek, in a sense.
Yeah.
It was like if they said, hey, let's take this idea and make a Nickelodeon version of it.
It looks like it was shot on a community stage.
yeah, probably.
Cardboard back. It looked like they, I mean, they probably did make this here at Universal Studios in Orlando years ago.
And then they
Oh,
moved.
that
So, you know, now
hair.
we.
What is going on? Jesus.
See, now you're interested, aren't you? Now you're looking at this and you're
Yeah,
going,
this
I
is
have to.
really weird.
You're looking at this going, I have to go to YouTube and like watch the pilot if it's on there.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Those haircuts. Holy crap. God, what were they thinking?
That it was
Oh,
the
man.
90s, I think, still.
Yeah, total 90s. Yeah, man. So that's, I don't know. That's my rant about wanting good science fiction. We're getting it in movies. We're getting a lot of science fiction movies, but not TV shows. I really wish HBO or, I mean, one of these channels would do it. We have great fantasy. We're like, there hasn't been better fantasy on television with, stuff like Game of Thrones. And we even have strange genres like The Walking Dead is so popular. We have all these genre type shows that are super popular now, and all the other ones kind of faded away, like the CSIs and stuff like that. No one talks good about those anymore.
Well, because
Like,
there's
and they
they've
ruled forever.
yeah, but I
Like,
mean that was 10 years ago.
right, exactly. And now it's nice to see these genre story character driven shows are good, and even like the more realistic kind of take of shows are better. Like Breaking Bad is everything, shows like CSI and stuff would want it to ever be, but they can't
Yeah.
because it's the same generic monster of the week, where Breaking Bad was like, good guy gets in a shitty situation and it
It
gets
was
worse.
a character drama. It was a
What
character
happened?
drama.
Yeah,
And I mean that's
exactly.
look, HBO has fantasy pretty well covered with Game of Thrones. Let Starz or Showtime or somebody step up and say we claim science fiction in the name of of our network.
I would love Netflix to do a really good science fiction show. Sci-fi is kind of the only channel doing, I'm sorry, not sci-fi, but BBC. They have Orphan Black and they have Doctor Who. But Doctor Who is one of those, like, Doctor Who's very much like the people that are into that, they were into it when they were kids. And so it's like, imagine if Power Rangers was still popular today. It's like if the show never ended. That's to me what, like, when I watch Doctor Who, I'm like, this is very much a children's
I
show.
got into
And
I started watching Doctor Who 3 years ago, and I can't get enough of it. So be careful the ground on
right.
which you tread here.
Well, no, but I mean, but you have to feel the same way when you're watching it. You're like, okay, this Play-Doh monster running through the room, it's very, there's episodes where they're very, like, you can tell it's like Power Ranger-esque type episodes. And then there's episodes where they're really smart and really well done, and it's very vastly different. But then there's episode where I'm like, what's this egghead guy? It's kind of like what I imagine people who were never into Star Wars watch Star Wars for the first time, and they're like, who's this trash can rolling into the room?
That's fair. That's a fair comparison. I'll take
Right,
that one.
yeah. And so that's what I mean, it's kind of like seeing that on the other end, where I'm like, the people who love Doctor Who, and of course there's a lot of new people, like you just said you are, but the people who are really into it watched it when they were children, and it was like it was Christmas to them because it came out every Christmas. And they had their Doctor Who, and they had, there's like eight different versions, and when they first came out it was very cheaply made.
Right, but I mean you've gotta remember that was 50 years ago.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I'm like, what's a Dalek doesn't look terrifying to me, but that nostalgia factor hits into, this guy I used to work with. He loved Doctor Who. And when he sees a Dalek and stuff like that, the nostalgia factor is totally there for him. But for me, I'm like, no, that's like it looks ridiculous. And so that's where I'm like, I tried to watch the new stuff. I did actually. I watched all of I didn't watch the David Tennant stuff. I watched the guy after that.
Oh man, you've got to go back and watch Tenants. Which
Right.
another piece of news, they're going to start airing on Disney
Oh, okay. That
XD.
makes
Yeah,
sense. Well,
seasons. He did
he's
three
in
seasons.
Jessica Jones. He's the
Yeah,
Purple
he.
Man.
It, which is, man,
Yeah.
wow. Because
Yeah, so
that's
that's gonna be cool.
anybody that knows anything about the Purple Man knows that's a dark character.
Right. Oh, yeah, totally. And, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm bashing Doctor Who, because I actually enjoyed it. I liked it. There's a lot of the whole moon, that what was it, the moon episode. And there's a lot of things I like about that show, but there's a lot where it's like, okay, I'm not going to get this because I wasn't there watching this as a kid. And so that's what I imagine people, and I tell people that who have those rare people where they're like, I've never seen Star Wars. I don't tell them to go watch it, because to me it's like, you know, you should see it, but you're not going to enjoy it like I did watching it as a child growing up with it. You're not going to have that same love for it.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, though.
Really?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you could find enjoyment in something now. And, you know, and it depends. Like, I would not, if somebody came to me right now, you know, somebody my age, you know, somebody 26, 27 was like, I never watched Power Rangers. I would not tell them, go back and watch the original Power Rangers. That I would not do, because it's right. Clearly a kid's show. It's absolutely hands down a kid's show. Yeah. But like, but Star Wars bridges that gap, man. I think you could tell somebody right now, like, oh, I've never seen Star Wars. Okay, first of all, Episode 1 doesn't exist. Go watch them in this order: 4, 5, 2, 3, and 6, and you'll be fine. And yeah, you know, I think that could totally work. There's plenty of stuff I'm sure like people would tell me, like, what do you mean you haven't seen whatever?
Yeah, I agree with you. Star Wars is kind of a thing of its own, because if you haven't seen it yet and you're in your late 20s, by that time, you have to know your audience. And if someone tells me that, then that tells me they're just not into that genre at all. You know what I mean? Because Star Wars is one of those things where it's so universal that most people have already seen it. The people who have not seen it probably went out of their way not to see it. Does that make sense?
I kind of half agree.
It's like Jurassic Park. Like, who would not want to see that film? But if you haven't, it's probably like, oh shit, you really don't like those kind of films. Where it comes to Star Wars, the people that I find have never seen it, they do not like that kind of genre. They don't like science fiction, period. And usually it's the ones who are kind of like purists, where they're like, oh, I like the history movies, or I like the dramas. You know, I like Scarface and stuff like that. Though they like more of the grounded drama, you know, those kind of things, where they don't go anywhere near Lord of the Rings or Star Wars. So in their head, that's just not something they enjoy. So it's give or take. It's like I said, I kind of gauge somebody when they're like, I haven't seen it. Some people I've introduced to it, my friend Lauren, she's never seen Star Wars or anything like that, and she enjoyed the hell out of it when she watched A New Hope. So I was like, okay, I'll show you the rest. But some other people, where they were like, I've never seen that, they start to watch it, and they're like, they're just making fun of it. I'm like, no, don't watch anymore, because you're not going to like it. It's not for you. You're an adult now, and you kind of look down on that kind of stuff, so I would not show you any more of this ever. You know what I mean?
Right.
I guess Star Wars is just a bad example, because it's so universal. But that's like, it's kind of like with Doctor Who. And it's strange, because I'm the kind of person that you would think you would introduce Doctor Who to, and I would be like, okay, I'm in. But it didn't grab me. To me, it definitely felt like a Power Rangers that matured over the years, where it started out extremely like for children, and now it knows it's very self-aware that it has two different audiences. It has the kids, and it has the kids who grew up to watch it, and the kids who grew up to watch it are probably introducing it to a new audience, and so it's cool for them too, because Doctor Who's kind of in that world. It's kind of in that same ballpark of all the other science fiction stuff we like.
Right.
The one show that did it really well, I thought, was Battlestar Galactica. When I first heard about that, I was like, oh, it kind of was like, I don't know if I want to watch that. I like Star Trek, but when I saw clips from the old Battlestar Galactica show, I was like, no, thank you. That looks super cheesy. But then when I give anything 3 episodes. And when I sat down and watched the first 3 episodes of Battlestar Galactica, the 2004 one, I was in. I was hook, line, and sinker. You know, this was a great show. And I just want more of that kind of stuff, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. And I still say, go back to Tennant's run on Doctor Who.
Okay.
Start with season, depending on how far you, on who numbers them for you, the new set of them, season 2.
Right. See, I watched season one, and I skipped Tenet, which I guess is really bad, because that's what everyone tells me. Like, you missed the best of it.
Yes.
And then I went to the next guy, and I watched his run, and then I watched an episode two of the current Doctor Who, and I fell off. It wasn't for me, but I've always kind of wanted to go back and watch Tenet's run.
Yeah. Go back and give that three episodes. And you know, it may not change your mind, but I still say try it.
Yeah, definitely. Because
he brought a really interesting feel to it, and his run, his three seasons, are a complete arc. They feel very, very definitive. There is a beginning to this, and there is an end to this. You could have had just those three seasons be a show unto themselves.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like when I saw Doctor Who, it was the one with Amy Pond, and I really liked her character. I liked the full circle that she made throughout those seasons. And like, you see, you know, it opens up with her as a kid, and it totally plays out throughout the rest of the show with her on like what happens between when she first meets him and then when she meets him later on in life, you know. And you know, he's the guy in the box, the police boxer, whatever silly name she had for him, but like,
the Raggedy
I don't know.
Man. Yes.
Yeah, there was some really good, and that's the thing, is that show, it would gauge from some episodes were just so silly, but some of them were like, they hit like home, a little too close to home, and I was like, whoa, that's really good. I really like that. So yeah, it's Doctor Who's it's an enigma for me. It's really strange.
Go back to Tenet's run. Give that a shot, and it, again, you know, it may not change your mind, but I think it will.
Yeah, from what I hear from the new ones, that's the definitive run.
Yeah,
you know, that's the one people should go and check out. So I will. Hey, I'll actually check out a few episodes, and I'll let you know next week what I think of it. And you know, it's cool to see actually like the, what's her name, Karen Gillian from who played Amy Pond. It's cool to see her in like Guardians of the Galaxy and stuff like that now.
Yeah.
Which hopefully we'll get more of her in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I'm glad that they, spoiler alert, kept her alive.
not a tremendous spoiler, really.
Yeah, I don't know anyone listening to this who hasn't seen Guardians, but yeah, she lives. But yeah, man, so where were we at? We're at TV News. We kind of briefly went over Fuller House. I think that's such a cool concept, you know.
I think it's
kind of the same dark concept if you think of the original one where, you know, her husband dies, just like, you know, what's his face, you know, wife died in the first one, and so he has to take care of these kids, where she's got to take care of these kids, and I think she has sons, so it's like the same. To me, this reminds me of Girl Meets World.
Yeah, it's the same exact idea of like, hey, we're gonna have a sequel to this show that's exactly the same as that show, with like, we switched some genders. And
so how are they gonna do this on Netflix? That's the like, are they gonna have a laugh track? From what I hear, they're doing the same house. It's gonna be the same house, so they're gonna have the same set. You know, which a house like that in San Francisco this day and age would be worth millions.
You ain't kidding.
No, so it's going to be interesting. She's like a veterinarian, so how's that going to work? You know, living in a house like that. So I imagine Danny Tanner has it all bought and paid for.
Yeah. His magnificent career, I'm sure.
Right, so it's going to be interesting, man, to say the least. How are they going to do this as a net? This is going to be, if it's a sitcom, this is going to be, I think, one of Netflix's first sitcoms.
I think
where, like,
yeah.
It's going to be, you know, are they going to do the whole, you know, three cameras, you know, live studio audience? It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
Just put an Olsen on each camera. You'll be set.
Right. Are they going to be in it? I think. Oh, that's going
to
be weird.
They've said that there'll be like cameos from past stars. So, I mean, maybe not. Who knows?
They got to be. Is it Kibler or whatever her name is? She's gonna be on it.
Yeah. I just, man,
it is gonna be interesting. I can't wait to see that. Netflix is really gonna be the place to go, man. It's such a good platform that if they pull that off, that's just gonna be weird to see. We got House of Cards, Daredevil, and Fuller House on the same platform. Like, it's so weird if you think about it. It's so bizarre, but it's so diverse too. Like, you know, and like I said, check out Marco Polo, man. Give it a few episodes. It's super slow at the beginning,
Yeah.
but man, when it gets into it, you're like, God, I kind of like this Genghis Khan guy. Like, I really, these Mongolians, like, holy shit, I like this. You know, it's a lot of fun. So I hope they come out with the season two of that too. So, but yeah, man. We're kind of wrapping it up here. I guess the last thing, unless there's anything else you want to talk about Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I guess that's going to be kind of our closer here for the week.
Right, yeah, no, I mean, if well, I think we're just gonna get into it since it's our closer. We'll get into the spoilers. I'm trying to think back actually to what happened on Game of Thrones. Refresh my memory. Like, it was about Jaime. Yeah, it was about San they what's her name? See, Sansa. Help me out. Bernine, what's her name?
Do what now? You lost me already.
Sansa. It's about Littlefinger, Sansa, and then what's her face?
Brienne.
Brienne, that's
Sorry,
it. Yeah,
I was like,
she.
wait a minute, Bernie? Wait, what are
Yeah,
we here?
Bernie. Yeah, she meets up and, sees Sansa, and, there's that confrontation there I thought was cool. This is. Game of Thrones hasn't caught me this season yet. It's not hooking me yet. We see some extras from some of the characters, but it just hasn't. I don't know. It hasn't thrilled me. What'd you think about the episode?
Hey, man. We've arrived at the House of Black and White. I mean,
Right.
I love this arc in the books. I cannot wait to see this on the show. Like, this is
Okay.
what I've been waiting for.
Right. Yeah. See, that's the thing is I haven't read the books, so I don't know anything about that. It looks interesting, but
You're
it
in
was
for
such
it,
a
yeah.
tease. It was like, she knocks on the door and then we don't see anything for the rest of the episode until the very end.
Yeah.
And it was one of those scenes where I was like, oh shit, she's gonna kill this kid. Like, yeah, it's. And then he stops her, and it's one of those where it's like it was one of those episodes to me where it was like a lot of it was dragging, and then at the end I was like, okay, this is getting exciting. Wait till next week.
Yeah,
It's
yeah.
it almost made me go, you know what, motherfuckers, I am gonna go download the third episode because I hear it's out, and I just stopped myself. I was like, no, because then I'll be even more mad waiting. And I heard the quality wasn't good on the downloads anyway, so I wasn't gonna do that, but.
Well, and it for legal reasons, it's
Totally
illegal.
illegal, yeah.
Yeah,
So,
we
yeah,
have to say
but
that.
the thought ran through my head like, make an episode where it gets that cliffhanger in the middle, and we get to see a little bit of play out. But I mean, I guess that's how they have to do it. So it was cool. Just a lot of
Yeah.
moving chess pieces, and I want to see what's going down in what is it, Dome or no,
Dorne.
what.
Dorne.
Dorn. Okay, yeah.
I can't wait to see more of this. Like, I know
Yeah.
what, like, where they're going with this. I want to see how it plays out, and I'm excited for this season. I'm really I keep 'cause I see all the potential, and you see all the pieces kind of moving into place, and it's
Yeah.
You can tell, like, the first handful of episodes, like, this first half of the season looks like it's going to be moving everything into place. And then the
Right.
last half is going to be, here's what you signed up for.
Right.
So
Oh yeah.
I'm all for it.
And Jamie and what's his name? Jamie went and grabbed
Bronn.
Bronn. Yeah. So that's such a cool dynamic. I want to see that play out.
I'm so glad we get to see more of those too. I was so worried that, like, after, 'cause those, like, training scenes between them
Right.
where like, that was such great chemistry. Like, that worked so well, and then that went away, and I was like, oh,
Right,
sad, because
I didn't know if we'd see any more of that character because he's like, okay, well, now I got a wife and I got to take this. And it, that scene in the last one where he's like, sorry, I can't be here to fight for you. That was one of the scenes where I was like, this in reality, if as close as we want to get, that's exactly probably what someone would do. They would take the deal on the table because it's safe. And it's like, why the fuck would I defend? Why would I go out of my way to die clearly and fight the mountain for you? So it was cool to like when it kind of caught me off guard when we saw him. I was like,
Well,
oh,
and
that's where he's been. I kind of missed him.
and to be fair, that character was always upfront about that,
Oh yeah,
so it
totally.
wasn't it, you could tell, like, Tyrion was not surprised. I was like,
Right,
oh yeah, it's like,
exactly.
I knew
He's
this.
loyal
I
to the money, yeah.
yeah
So it's and we had a lot of Jon Snow, which was really cool. I liked that stuff in the episode, and he it's kind of like you see him rise to what is he called there now? He's like the leader basically, right? He's
Yeah,
the one in
what's the
charge now.
I forgot the title already. Not Warden. Was it Lord Commander, right?
Yeah, Lord Commander. That's it. Yeah.
Thank
So
you.
you I mean, we all kind of saw that coming, you know, during that battle where, you know, the dude was hiding in the hiding with the ham and the girl and the baby. So like we saw that coming, and you know, it's going to be cool. And you know hearing, you know, when he was when he was given the option, he was like, you know, you give me the north, or you give me the wildlings and whatnot, and I'll give you the last name. And that was cool. And he was like, you'll be warden in the north, you know. So, you know, it would go back to how it was one king to rule it all, and that, you know, Jon Snow, which would now be Jon Stark, would be lord of the north. So I thought that was cool. I thought, like, holy shit, now we're getting somewhere. Because like right now, well, we haven't seen his brothers at all this season yet, have we?
No, and I don't think we're going to, because they're not part of it this season, I think.
Yeah, that's gonna be weird if they don't show them all season, and then they come back the next one. First of all, they're not gonna be children anymore. Like, let's be honest, they're gonna be like, you know, the little boy. I guess they might have to recast the little kid, but. That's going to be interesting, just because, yeah, they were with, like, tree people or, like, tree kids and stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
really getting into fantasy with that.
Yeah, but, I mean, the other brother, Rickon, I mean, we haven't seen him for years.
Wait, where am I? Refresh my memory here.
Because remember, there were the two of them. There was Bran and Rickon.
Right, and aren't they together?
No.
What happened?
No, they sent him away. Or so I don't remember exactly what happened.
Oh yeah, well I thought they came back together.
No, uh-uh.
Oh no, okay. So, yeah, see, I gotta go back and watch.
No, yeah, that one's the Lost Stark. Like, he's, I don't know.
So she sent him away with who though?
Oh, I don't remember.
Wasn't it with the Wildling girl?
Maybe. I don't remember.
Yeah, Hodor. It was Hodor, Bran, and the two kids,
yeah,
off, and then the wildling woman went with the young one.
Okay,
so yeah, it's if they leave those stories to the side for a while, it's gonna be kind of jarring, I think, to see them like, wait, what happened with these? Because it's already making me going, wait, what happened to these characters? They have a lot. See, this is where Game of Thrones should have its own cinematic. No, I'm just kidding. Its own little spinoff, you know, pockets, because it could totally have that. Like, you know, I was thinking, that's what I was thinking about when I was watching Marco Polo. I'm like, there's a lot of characters in here, but it doesn't even put a drop in the bucket to what Game of Thrones is now, because it's there's so much going on with that. It's insane. Like, to sit down and try to explain to Game of Thrones of people this far in, we're on what, the fifth season? There's so much. It's so meaty, you know. There's so much in there.
I would love to sit down with somebody who's just getting started watching it. Just
right,
because,
yeah.
Just because, you know, like a couple episodes in, oh yeah, just watch. Ned Stark's gonna be running this. You watch.
Yeah, no, that's what's all right, man. About it.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
you hang on to that Stark.
And I liked that. Game of Thrones did so many things right. It tiptoed into fantasy, where like some of my friends and family who are not big into fantasy, they don't like Lord of the Rings as much as I do. They might, some of them don't even like it at all. Where they started to watch this and they fell in love with it for a lot of other reasons, and they were okay with the setting. And then suddenly when it tiptoed into dragons and to zombies and to all this other stuff, they were already in. They were already on board. They already had their ticket. They were excited. They had their Game of Thrones shirt, and they were like, oh, now this is getting better. And it was cool because it was fun to see people who were never into that kind of step into my world. And, you know, I even had someone go, I totally get now why you like this. I totally see why you like it now. And they had to be introduced to it that way, where me, I was introduced as a kid, and I was much more like, oh, I love this kind of stuff because, you know, I'm a little kid. So now, you know, me and you, people like us, we totally were in, because we were in since we were kids. It's nice to see other people be introduced to that and really get into it, the genre type stuff. So,
oh, yeah, totally,
so, yeah,
absolutely.
So, yeah, Game of Thrones is that perfect gateway drug to be a nerd. It really is. It really is, because it's interesting to hear, like, my grandparents discuss Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Oh, man, here's a weird bit for you.
Yeah.
On Wheel of Fortune earlier tonight, just tonight, and I know this is going to seem way out of nowhere, but it ties in. I don't even remember the puzzle, but it was a before and after, and the last part of it was Game of Thrones.
Oh wow!
And before I came up with it, I looked up at it, and my mom, sitting over there, just says it's something Game of Thrones. It was Little League Game of Thrones was the entire puzzle.
Oh,
but she
wow.
said, it's something Game of Thrones. And I was like, you don't watch that show. How did you know that? To me, it seemed so out of nowhere. I was like, that's how culturally pervasive it is.
Oh, yeah,
that
totally.
Even if somebody has never seen it, doesn't know it, they still are aware of it. And I'm like, okay,
yeah.
Sure.
It's interesting. Hats yeah, off. Like I'll go and I'll sit and talk with like my aunts, or if I go to my grandparents and, you know, I sit there and I'm like, did you see Game of Thrones? I'm like, yeah, I can't wait to see what happens with Cersei. And I'm just thinking, you're like, wow, this super conservative, you know, grandpa of mine is really into a bunch of, you know, incest and, you know, I cringe to think about what he was thinking during the scenes with the two gay guys.
Yeah,
I'm like, I can't imagine my grandparents watching that.
That's just,
you know,
that,
but
that's
they
like,
love
would...
it. They can't get enough of the
yeah,
show, and
hey,
it's,
you know,
it's totally cool. And it's the gateway drug. It gets people into that world that not necessarily would give it the time of day before.
Yeah.
But they heard so many well things about it, and I think me and you are the same mind that as long as something's a good story, we are in. It doesn't matter what it is.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know?
Absolutely.
And you know, it's nice to see people who are a little bit more conserved about that, a little bit more their time they only want to kind of stick to one genre or whatnot. It's nice to see them go into that, and
yeah,
that's a perfect way to do it. That's one season I've handed off to I don't know how many people, and we've talked about Lost, that was another one, but Game of Thrones, I hand it to them and they're in. All they got to do is watch the first season,
yeah,
and they're like,
no,
okay, where's the rest?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, Game of Thrones is to geekdom what marijuana is to deep fried Twinkies.
Yep, totally,
like
totally.
That's it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But man, I mean, we're kind of running long here, so I think that's it. That's what we got this week. I don't know. You know, who knows what kind of news is going to come up next week. I know that I'm going to try and read a little bit more comics, so we'll get that in.
More trailers.
Right. Yeah. I think they released every trailer in one. Basically, you know, Star Wars put its dick on the table, and every other, you know, insecure company was like, wait a second, we got something too. Let's hold on. We got to show something, you know. And so who knows what's going to happen next week. But you know, I'm going to try and read some more comics. I'm going to try and get in a show, maybe Turn or something like that. And yeah, we'll be back. Is there any games or anything coming out you're excited about?
Not off the top. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. Not until the next thing, like, I'm really excited for, of course, is Arkham Knight, but that's not for like 2 months yet.
Right, yeah, Arkham Knight and Witcher, that's going to take up all my time.
There you go.
Yeah, so, yeah, but we'll see you next week. I'm sure some news will drop, some crazy shit will happen, and we'll be back. All right, Logan, Captain?
Captain.